జై శ్రీపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరషద శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభయ చరణారవింద భక్తివేదాంత గోస్వామి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదికి జయం నితిలీలా ప్రవిష్ట విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరషద శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదికి ఆనందకోటి వైష్ణవృందకి నామాచార్య శ్రీ హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్కి ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాదేవుల భక్తవృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధా కృష్ణ గౌ గోవినాథ శ్యామకుండ రాధా పండిగిరి గోధానికి వృందావన ధామికి మాయాపూర్ ధామికి పల్లెగిరి ధామికి జగన్నాథపురి ధామికి ద్వారకాపురి ధామికి గంగమాయకి యమునమాయకి తులసిదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేర భక్తవృందకి గౌ ప్రేమనంది ఓం గౌరీశ్వర సుందరి గౌరీస్ ఓం గౌరీశ్వర సుందరి గౌరీస్ All glories to the Holy Lord. All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Shri Prabhupada. Namo Shri Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutare. Shri Mali Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nidinamine. Namaste Saraswati Devi. Gauravani Prajarini. Namaste Shri Shunyavani Prashanti Deshadharini.
మమ వాచి విచంబదాముదాయ ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिने नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यावेशधारिणे श्रीमद्गुरुचरणारविन्दाभ्यां नमः वन्दे नन्दव्रजस्त्रीणां पालरेणुमभीष्टशां यासं हरिगतोज्ञेनं पुनाहि भुवनत्रयं गोपीचरणारविन्दपरमानवे नमः पीताम्बरं करविराजितचक्रशङ्खं कौमोदरी सरसिजं करुणासमुद्रं राधासहायमतिसुन्दरमन्दहासं वाकालयेशमनिशं हृदि भावयामि कोरं पूजयन् वेणुं श्यामलोयं कुमारका वेदवेद्यवरं ब्रह्म भासतां पुरतो मम मूलं करोति वाचालं पङ्गं लङ्घयते गिरिं यत्कृपामहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवं श्रीकृष्णाय नमः श्रीमद्राजाय नमः सर्वत्र गोविन्दनाम सङ्कीर्तनं गोविन्द गोविन्द ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितां भगवतां नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथितां पुराणमुनिनां मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणीं भगवतीम् अष्टादशाध्यायिनीम् अम्ब त्वामनुसन्धदामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणीं नमोऽस्तु ते व्यासविशालबुद्धे फुल्लारविन्दायतमत्र नेत्र येन त्वया भारततैलपूर्णप्रज्वालितो ज्ञानमयप्रदीप प्रपन्नपारिजाताय स्तोत्रवेत्रैकपाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतदुहे नमः सर्वोपनिषदोगौ दोग्धागोपालनन्दन पार्थो वधुससुधीर्भोक्ता दुर्घं गीतामृतं महत् वसुदेवसुतं देवं कंसचानुगुरमर्दनं देवकी परमानन्दं कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुम् भीष्मद्रोणकटाजयद्रतजल गान्धारनीदुर्बल शल्यग्राहवती कृपेण महनि कर्णेन वेदाकुल अश्वत्थामाविकर्णघोरमगर दुर्योधनावर्तिनि सुतीर्ण खलु पाण्डवैरणनदी कैवर्तक केशव पाराशर्यवचस्तरोजं मलं गीतार्थगन्धोत्कटं नानाख्यानगकेसरं हरिकथा सम्बोधना बोधितं लोकैः सज्जनशल्पदैरहरः प्रेमीयमानं मुदा भूयात् भारतपङ्कजकलिमलप्रध्वंसिनश्रेयसे मूलं करोति वाचालं पङ्गं लङ्घयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम् यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुदस्त्वन्वन्दि दिव्यैस्तवै वेदे साङ्गपदे क्रमोपनिषदे गायन्ति यं सामगाः ध्यानावस्थितद्गदेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनो यस्यान्तं भवितु सुरासुरगणै देवाय तस्मै नमः
Arjuna asked this question to Krishna that how do we know about a person who has transcended the three modes of material nature? One, and secondly, how can Arjuna transcend the three modes of nature? These were the two questions which Arjuna asked in the verse 21. Kailinge Kailinge Stream Gunanetan Ajido Bhavati Prabhu.
kim achara katham chayidam, treen gunan adivartade. That was the question. So these two questions, Krishna started answering in this way. Shri Bhagavan Vacha, prakashamcha pravurtincha mohamevacha pandava, nadveshti sampravurtani nanivurtani kankshari. Krishna says that instead of saying the three modes of material nature, Krishna says prakasham, pravurti and moham. That means sattugunam, rajogunam and tamogunam. Arjuna, he says, nadveshti sampravurtani nanivurtani kankshari. He does not, when these three modes of nature comes, Krishna says that he does not hate them and he does not desire to remove them. He does not want to remove them either. In other words, he wants to stay away from the modes of nature, disconnected, detached from the modes of nature. Prakasham cha pravurtim cha moham eva cha pandava na dveshti sampravurtani na nivurtani kankshani. That means there is no hate. Krishna is saying there is no hate towards the modes of nature. That's the first thing. Na dveshti. Because sometimes we can see that the three modes of nature comes to us uninvited. And when they come, we react to that, isn't it? When you feel tamogunam has attacked or rajogunam has come, you feel awful. How do I come out of that? You start thinking like that. Krishna says that is not how you deal with the modes of nature. The way to deal with the modes of nature, Krishna's opinion is na dveshti sampravartani. Knowing very well that the new modes of nature has come and they are working. To know that and to remain aloof from that. This is the principle. What Krishna says. Na nivruttani kankshari. He does not desire to get himself freed from that either. Because if you feel that you want to move away from the, you want to change the modes of nature, that means there is raga dvesham there. That is why it is like that. If there is attachment and aversion to anything, especially the modes of nature, Krishna is saying that then you have lost it. You got again got trapped into one of the modes. But always to remain aloof from the three modes, that is what knowing very well that they have come and that they will go. They are not going to stay forever. Knowing this is the secret of dealing with the modes of nature. Not changing the modes of nature from one to another. Instead, knowing very well that they come and they go, to know that and to remain aloof from that, that is what Krishna is saying here. Na dveshti sampravurtani na nivurtani kamakshari. He doesn't desire to get any modes of nature, whether it is sattugunam or rajogunam or tamogunam, it does not matter. Whatever may be the modes of nature, Krishna's opinion is that they will come and they will go. Because modes of nature is happening in the prakriti. It is not happening in the consciousness. It's not happening in the self. So knowing very well that it is not happening in me, it is happening in the prakriti, in the mind, intelligence and ego and body, senses, all these are part of prakriti. And it is in prakriti, the modes of nature is operating, not in me. This knowledge, Krishna says, is important. And that is how they free themselves from the prakriti. So, udasinava dasinam, Krishna said, gunaryona vichalyade, gunavartanda mityeva, yoga tishtari nengade. Krishna also mentions that, then when a person has reached that state, that udasinan means he is above the modes. He is gone beyond the modes, transcended. Otherwise, udasinana vasin, one who is situated in that state, gunaryodna vichalyade, gunams cannot touch him anymore. Gunar cannot touch him because he is remaining aloof from the gunam. Gunavartanda ityeva yo avatishtani nengare. So he is situated in that. That therefore he is under all circumstances unaffected by the modes. And Krishna also mentions there, samadukkha sukha swastham, samaloshtashma kanchana, tulya priya priyodhiraha, tulya nindalpa samstuti. mentions that equal vision in happiness and distress. Samatvam yoga mucchyate, Krishna mentioned earlier in the 6th chapter. That samatvam in happiness and distress, in the gold or the earth or stones, there is no, he sees both of them equally. Tulya priya apriyo, the apriyo, when someone praises him or insults him, still he remains steady. Dhiraha tulyam nind atma samstuti, either way he is not disturbed over anything. That is a symptom of a person who has transcended the modes of nature. These are all Krishna saying, because Arjuna asked the question, what is the symptom of a person who has transcended the modes of nature? So these are the symptoms of a person who has transcended the modes of nature. That is all these ones. These Nadveshti Sambravruttani, Nadvruttani Kamshadi, 22nd verse. That is one symptom. Second symptom is Udasena Vadasena Uneryoga Vijayade. That he remains above the modes, so therefore modes cannot go anywhere closer to him. Gunavartanda Vitiva Yo Avadishtani Nengare. Because he knows very well that the gunam is operating, the three modes are operating, and he does not have, he knows very well that they are doing everything, he is not a part of that. That separation from the modes of nature, remaining aloof from the modes of nature, or clear separation from the modes of nature. Samadukha Sukha Swastham, Samiloshtashma Kanchanam, Tulya Priya Priyo Dhira, Tulya Nindalpa Samsturi. These are all the nature of a person who has transcended the three modes of material nature. And finally, Krishna also mentions there, Manapa Manayo Tulyaha, Tulyo Vitrari Pakshayoho, Sarvarambha Parityagi, Gunadhita Samuchyade. What again, Krishna is repeating the same thing, that one who sees the Manapa Manayo Tulyam, when he is praised or when he is insulted, he sees that equally. Tulyo Mitrari Pakshayo, friend and foe doesn't exist. They are both same to him. Sarvarambha Parityagi, he has stopped any kind of activities in this world. And he does not put anything, has given up all kinds of karma in this world. Gunadhita Samuchyade, he has transcended the three modes of material nature. So these symptoms are relationship with the three modes of nature. So till now in this chapter we have looked at individual verses. Each verse we had looked at that, and one thing we have to remember here is who will get benefited from this chapter? Who will get benefited from this chapter? One who has come to spiritual life and who is executing sadhana very seriously. Very seriously. That means in adhyatma sadhana, sadhana also has different levels of sadhana, isn't it? Like in the pure devotees, devotees are also classified into various categories. First class devotee, second class devotee, Kanishtadhyari, Madhyamadhyari, Uttamadhyari. Three categories. Similarly, those who are performing sadhana also are categorized into three. Those who are performing sadhana in a very, very lower level, in a middle level, and in a very serious level. There also, again, there is category. In everything, there is category. So, those who have done very good sadhana, adhyatma sadhana, and they have gone very far in sadhana, and then who is absorbed in the study of shastra and reflection, and able to relate with shastra very well, for such persons, this chapter will be of benefit. This chapter will be of benefit to them. But everyone in this world, knowingly or unknowingly, they are doing some sadhana in life. Some kind of sadhana, everybody does. And because sadhana means what? Sadhana means inquiring after the truth. That is sadhana, isn't it? Sadhana means inquiring after the truth. So this inquiry for spiritual realization or realization of the truth or self-realization, that is happening in a very subtle level in everyone. It's happening in a subtle level in everyone. It can happen by hearing from someone, otherwise by reading some books, or from various ways, this can happen in a person, this inquiry can start. So that is normally general people come to the spiritual life in one of these ways. Either someone has spoken to them about it, or they have heard from in a satsangam, or an opportunity happened to him in a satsangam, or to associate with someone who is engaged in spiritual life. And otherwise, by reading from books or hearing from directly through someone, in this way people come to spiritual life, isn't it? So, in the Shastram, there is a name for that. What do they call it as Kakataliya Nyayam? Kakataliya Nyayam means that that a crow has gone and sat on the top branch of a tree and the mango has fallen. So, actually there is no connection between the two. Crow sitting on the branch and the mango falling. But it so happened when the crow sat on the tree, the mango fell. Similarly, in a person's life, when he comes to spiritual life, it is very difficult that it has happened due to some particular person. It is not. It's always due to his particular prarabdham. And due to circumstances, how Krishna operates within a person, that's very difficult to say. Very difficult to say. Because continuously every living entity in this world is constantly searching for something. Everyone, you can see that. But only thing, they won't know what they are searching for. That is the problem. Search is going on. That is why we are wandering around all over the world, isn't it? There must be something you are looking for. So that is what it is. And Krishna's point is that till you come to this realization that you have, we have a very intimate relationship with Krishna, knowing that is the most important thing. How do we know that? Bhagavad Gita says, Mamai Vamsho Jiva Loki Jiva Bodha Sanatana. Jiva Bodha has Mamai Vamsham, Krishna's Amsham, we are. And Jiva Lokam, the living entity, Jiva, has a very, very close connection with Krishna. Very close with Krishna. With Krishna we have a close connection, and that too it is permanent connection. Nitya Sambandham it is. Permanent connection with Krishna exists for every living being. And that is what that verse is saying. Mamai Vamsho Jiva Loke Jiva Bodha Sanatana Mana Shashtanindriyani Prakritistani Krishani. Krishna says. So actually we have a permanent relationship with Krishna. We have no relationship with the world. This is the most important thing. We have no relationship with the world. Actually, our relationship is with Krishna, not with the world. So, the connection with the world is very, very temporary thing. That is, a very, very temporary relationship. Not only that, we have no connection with the world, and mutually, also in this world, we don't have any connection with each other. We take it that we have relations and friends and families and various ways under Maya we have developed all the relationships. But Shastram point of view, from the Shastram side, if you look at it, you have no connection with world, you have no connection with anyone here. The only connection, the relationship is with Krishna, nobody else. So what to talk about any of these things? You have no connection with your own body either. This is the truth. We have no connection with our own body, we have no connection with the world, we have no connection with the other members of the family. This is the fact of life. This you will only, this is difficult for most of the people who will ask, immediately there will be a counter question. How is that possible? That is Maya. That is Maya. Maya's role is to convince us that you have connection with the world, you have connection with the family, you have connection with the body, everything. That is Maya's job. Krishna is saying to us, that you have no connection anywhere, your actual relationship is with me. Mamai Vamsho Jiva Loke Jiva Bodha Sanatana. Krishna is saying, and that relationship is permanent, not temporary relationship, permanent relationship with Krishna. Even this relationship with the world, body and the family and all, that they are temporary things, even if you accept any relationship there. You have, so, so even with this body, we have no contact, we have no relationships, isn't it? So, if you accept that you had previous bodies, previous lives, previous births in this world or anywhere else, you had relationship at that time with the different bodies, isn't it? So if you develop, if you recognize all that, what kind of bodies we had, we don't know. Where we had the bodies, we don't know. And what form of body we had, also we don't know. None of them we know now, isn't it? That shows very clearly that the so-called relationship even in this body also is going to disappear in the same way the other bodies have come and disappeared. Exactly like the way the other bodies have come and disappeared and we have lost connection with it, this body's connection also will disappear in the same way and we will lose the connection about this identity as well. That is the point Krishna is making here. Mamaivamsho jiva loge jiva bhuta sanatana. That, but permanently if you ask, is there any connection? Yes, Krishna says with me. Krishna says there is a connection. So we had connect in the same way like we have with this body and this world and this family today. Similarly, we had connections in the last body and the last family and the last world, wherever we were. But now we don't remember anything. Where we were, what we were doing here. Where was the family, where was the body, what we had. So that is an important point. The rishis are pointing out to us that you are so busy with this world in various ways, thinking that you have got a lot to do here, this, that, the other. But think about this, he says, that if you accept that there was previous body, previous life, previous existence, where is all that connection gone now? Where is that gone? So, similarly, in the same way, this contact and relationship in this life also, and this personality also, what we call as this personality also, it will also disappear without a trace. Exactly like all other personalities have disappeared. In previous, different lives, previously, we had different personalities. Where is all that personality gone? They have all disappeared, isn't it? Just to show that this personality itself is a false thing. Personality itself is a false thing. So they have come and disappeared, and this personality also has come and will disappear in the same way. Will disappear in the same way. So our permanent relationship is only with Krishna, nothing, nobody else. So that waking up, that relationship, to wake us up into that relationship and to establish that permanent relationship with Krishna and to get that happen, that is called initiation. That is initiation. Initiation is that. Initiation is not seeing someone in another form and chasing him rest of the life, washing his feet and going after him, thinking that this is my guru and fighting with everybody else. Mine is better than yours or yours is better than mine. This is all bogus. This has nothing to do with spiritual life. Spiritual life is this, that when this relationship, that means our relationship with Krishna, when it is woken up to the core to make us understand that I have no connection with this body, I have no connection with the world, I have no connection with the family, actually my actual relationship is only with Krishna. To wake up that awareness inside is called Diksha. It's called Diksha, Ulbhodhanam, Adhyalma Ulbhodhanam or otherwise Diksha. And that is why when that happens, it is called that Krishna's grace. That is Krishna's grace. So all what is happening is, we have that relationship. Actually, we do have that relationship. Someone is reminding you. That's all it is. Already what you have got, somebody is reminding you. And because you can see, normally we think that we have connection with matter, isn't it? Like you can see in the world, people have got a lot of houses or properties or various equipments or whatever that is. They feel a connection with their own thing. It's mine, they declare in the paper, it's registered and various different things, isn't it? So through dravyam, you become attachment, connection begins through dravyam. Dravyam means this matter in this way. Then similarly, we get attached to dravyam, we get attached to kriya also, to work, different kinds of work, is it not? Whatever work we do, you become identified with that and you get attached to that kind of thing. And similarly, different thoughts that comes to us, we get attached to that as well, different thoughts also. But to know that with none of them you have any permanent relationship, that's all coming and going, dravyam, kriya or chinta, thought wave, they're all coming and going. And at the same time, say, all these things are only making us aware you are far away from the truth. From the truth you are very, very far away. And the only truth where we have, in so-called in spiritual language, if you say that only truth with whom you have some permanent relationship is only with Krishna. It's only with Krishna who is in the inside the Santaryami. That is where the real relationship is. All other relationships are false. They have no meaning, isn't it? So this particular point that what Krishna is saying in the occurs when we read Mahayamsho Jivaloge Jivamoda Sanatana, we will start arguing whether what is we are a part or we are a whole or this. That is not the issue here. The issue is, have you accepted this relationship? That's more important. Not anything else. Whether you are a part or you are a whole, that's another thing. We'll see that later. But first thing, have we accepted this relationship with Krishna? That we haven't done. We have accepted all other relationships in this world. With the body, with the family, with the world, and so many other things. So, this, why Krishna says that is, at the moment, something we are experiencing in the form of awareness inside, is it not? As our existence, as consciousness, we feel that we exist, that awareness. And that awareness is only reminding us that there is someone with whom we have a relationship. That is what is coming out. This awareness is like that. That awareness is reminding us that there is a relationship with Krishna. So, you can see here, a child recognizes his relationship with the father and the mother. Father and the mother. Similarly, between husband and wife, there is a relationship. Is recognized. Husband and wife. So, these relationships is what you have recognized in this world after coming here. Is it not? That you have recognized, oh, I have a wife, or wife says, I have a husband, or children says that these are my parents, parents says they are my children. These are relationships that we have recognized after coming here. After coming here. Often when you get married, you don't even know each other very well. But after marriage, you may have seen before, but after the marriage, once you have recognized that relationship between husband and wife, or the wife and the husband, then the relationship begins from that. All that you have done is you have gone and got married somewhere, it doesn't matter where it is, and got registered the marriage and saying that from now onwards you are husband and wife. How much did you know each other before? You didn't know anything, is it not? So how did the relationship begin? It began because you have recognized the relationship, is it not? You have recognized the relationship, that's what has happened. So, through recognition, that relationship is accepted straight away. The important point is this. Simply by recognition, you have accepted that point. No matter how many years of sadhana you do, you will not get that relationship what you get through recognition. Recognition is more important than even sadhana. Sadhana cannot do that. Sadhana, you can also look at it this way, that how much powerful, how forceful it is, this recognition. Just by recognition, you have accepted it, isn't it? You haven't got any more problems after that. There may be problems in life, but the recognition immediately puts forward that it is accepted straight away inside. So, practicing abhyasam or practice, sadhana is practice, isn't it? Sadhana is nothing but practice. So, practice cannot be as powerful as recognition. That's the most important thing. Practice is not as powerful as recognition. So sometimes people for many, many years engage in meditation, japam, everything, and then they keep the photo in the friend and that form they try to meditate on that. If you do all that after several years, still you don't feel the connection as much as you get through recognition. That is why Krishna is saying there, mamaivamsho jivaloke jivabhuta sanatana. If you recognize that I have a connection with Krishna, instead of I have a connection with the body, I have a connection with the world, I have a connection with the family and all other things in this world where we feel connected. Instead, if you feel that we have a connection with Krishna, Krishna says if you recognize that, the spiritual life gets a lot easier. We have not recognized, that is where the problem is. We are still thinking, I'll be doing sadhana, all I have to do and get it. It is not something you have to do it and get it, it's already there, a relationship with Krishna. So you can see a man and a woman who are going to get married, and all what you are doing is you put them in front of a fire and stand some mantras to them, and then after that you tell them you go and get it signed in the register, and the next day they are together for the rest of their life. They're supposed to be, I'm saying. Supposed to be together for the rest of their life, is it not? So what has happened here? That all that they have brought in front of the fire and some mantra you have chanted, throw some bananas into the fire and everything, you have chanted something, some kirtanam or whatever you have done, and we are told that from now on they are husband and wife. So you can see that from recognition it happens straight away. Whereas through practice, which is sadhana, it takes a very, very long time and still it may not happen. This is the difference. We think that sadhana does everything, isn't it? That's our understanding. But through sadhana, intense sadhana, sometimes people say, no, sadhana's power is its power. The power of this recognition has its own power. The recognition is, and this is exactly what Krishna is saying in the second chapter. What does he say? The vyavasaya buddhi ekeha kurunandana. Does he not say that? What does it mean? This recognition is what he is talking about. Vyavasaya buddhi ekeha kurunandana. If you look at the second chapter, you will see that verse. Why, how important these verses are. Without understanding that, we are always thinking 241. Bahushaga Hyanandasha Buddhayo Avyavasayinam. Vyavasayalmiya Buddhi Egeha Kurunandana. Bahushaga Anandasha Buddhayo Avyavasayinam. That's what it is. So, one who has got Vyavasayalmiya Buddhi. Vyavasayalmiya Buddhi means one who has recognized it, that I have a relationship with Krishna. His mind, his intelligence is steady. Egeha Kurunandana. He is fixed because he knows that is my real relationship. Relationship is with Krishna. Nothing else. All other relationships are false in this world. Bahushaga Hyanandascha Buddhayo Avyavasayana. Krishna is saying that one who has not recognized it, this relationship with Krishna, is Bahushaga. He feels connected everywhere in the world, rest of the other things. With the family, with the body, with the world, and so on and so forth. So many other things. Bahushaga. So you can see in spiritual life, if you don't accept what Krishna is saying, spiritual life has no meaning. Bahushaga Hyanandascha. Krishna is saying his Bahushaga, it's many branched. Anandascha, unlimited branches, because you will feel I have connected with this country, I have connected with this society, I have connected with this institution. Institution and all is in the same category. Institution, society, the country, land of birth, the language you speak, and the society where you live, and the body, and the world, and anything and everything you take in this world, everything you feel connected. That is what that is. Bahushaga Hyanandascha Buddhayo Avyavasayinam. Krishna says his buddhi is avyavasayinam. It's not vyavasayalpiya buddhi. So that recognition is the one Krishna is stressing the point here. That vyavasayalpiya buddhi ekeha kurunandana, which means that it is that person who has made that recognition first. We have not recognized. That is why we feel so difficult. We are thinking, oh, we'll do a lot of sadhana for the rest of the life, and then whatever happens after that, one day it's all going to come, one day knocking at the door. So, so you can see here what happens is, someone, a man got married to a woman, or a man married a woman, and after that they have recognized that husband and wife. And then what happens? And then you can see that for before they got married, they had the father, mother, everything. They've all gone from their life. It's become that husband and wife, it has become. Is it not? So how could this happen? After marriage, 4 or 5 days have gone, by then the whole relationship equation has changed, isn't it? Prior to that, the child, he was a son or a daughter of a parent, father and mother. But as soon as they got married, then she feels and he feels as well, the husband and the wife feels, we are separate now, we are another family, begins from that. And all that connection with the father, mother completely changes. Completely. It will not be the same like before. It will be a completely different dimension, isn't it? So all what you have done there is, you have recognized it. You just recognize that I am married now, so I have a different relationship now. Exactly the same thing. So, so when you say this, people will say that that is because the man is attracted to woman and woman is attracted to the man. That is why it is like that. That will be the same. But, so, and only because of that, that this relationship has come in this way. And that is why, because of this attraction between man and woman, that is why it happens in that way. This will be the argument of the materialistic people. But then another argument towards that is, if between a man and woman a relationship, if it has got that much force, between a man and a woman, who they have met each other and got married, and if between them, if such a force can exist, how powerful will be that force if it is there between us and Krishna? How powerful it has to be? That is the argument. When Krishna is saying to us, and this relationship we know very well, between man and woman is over with the death. It may last 40 years, 50 years, 60 years, sometimes 4 days or 5 days also. It's gone. Finished and gone. Is it not? So they can only go and give a lot of importance. But Krishna is saying to us that relationship with me is permanent. That is the important point Krishna is making there. The relationship with Krishna is permanent. Mamai Vamsho Jiva Loke Jiva Bodha Sanatana. Sanatanam it is. Sanatanam relationship is Sanatanam as well. Mana Shashtani Indriyani Prakritistani Krishadi. So here Acharyas are asking this question that even if you accept this argument that due to attachment a relationship has developed between the man and woman, and if it happens for a short period of time, and then it may remain for some time, after that they may quarrel each other and they may break up and go away also. But this relationship with Krishna, you cannot break up. You cannot break it. Even if you want to quarrel with Krishna, you can't do that and break away from Krishna. Because here, all that is required is just you have to know who is Krishna. What is Krishna? That is all it is. Because to recognize this, Nitya Sambandham. Nitya Sambandham means permanent connection, permanent relationship. Krishna exists, and that Nitya Sambandham is Abheda Sambandham. Abheda Sambandham means that it is oneness with Him. Sambandham. You will see this in the Srimad Bhagavatam, how this is spoken. If you look at Bhagavatam, you will see this. In the time when they had to the churning of the milk ocean that happened in the, you can see in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the 8th canto. At that time, that demigods and the demons, they tried very hard to churn the ocean of milk, isn't it? So they have, what they have done is, together they brought the Mandhara mountain to the ocean, And they have used Vasuki as the rope to churn the Mandara mountains. And while they were churning the mountains, that mountain fell inside the ocean. It went down into the ocean. They couldn't do anything about it, neither the demons or the demigods. They tried very hard to bring it up. The tail side, the demigods were holding, the head side, the demons were holding. And they were churning. You can see the photo is there in the Bhagavatam show, how they were churning. So the Mandara mountain went underneath the ocean. Nothing worked. That is the time they thought, what should they do? Neither knew what to do about it. And they decided finally to take Krishna's shelter. So Shukha Brahma, she mentions in the Bhagavatam at that time, Vilokya, in the 8th canto, 7th chapter, you will see the 8th words, 8, 7, 8. Vilokya, Vignesha vidim sadeshwaro, durandamiryo avithavisanti, krutvavabur kachamamalbodam mahal, pravishyatoyam girimujjahara. Important words that is. Vilokya vignesha vidim tadeshwaro, durandavirio avithavisandhi, krutvavabu kachamamalbudam mahal, pravishyatoyam girim ujjahara. He mentions here, Krishna saw that vighna. Vighna means the obstacle. He saw the obstacle, vilokya vigneshwara vidim tadeshwara. That Krishna seeing that obstacle and how to cross over that obstacle, what did Krishna do? Is mentioned, there's a particular word uses there, Shukha Brahma Rishi uses there, avithavi sandhi, he says there. Avithavi sandhi. That word is the most important word there. That is when Krishna appeared as tortoise, isn't it? The tortoise incarnation, Kurma. Kurmavadaram happened at that time. Tortoise incarnation. Vithatha means avithadavi sandhi, he says. Avithadavi sandhi, that's the word. Vithatha means it will appear as though it exists. But in reality, if you inquire about it, it doesn't exist. It is false. That is why it's called avithadavi sandhi. Avithadavi sandhi means in our perception, we feel we have connection with the world. We have connection with home, family. We have connection with the body. But when you really need it, none of this will help. World won't help you when you are going to die. World cannot help you. You feel you have a connection with the world, but world can't help you when you are in trouble. When you are in trouble, the world can't help. When you are in trouble, the family can't help. Because they can't help. They are also in the same situation, like us. Similarly, this body with whom you feel you have a connection, body also can't help you when you are in trouble. When your body wants to leave you, you want to, no matter how much you tell the body to stay back, it is not going to stay, it will go, isn't it? This word, avithadhavi sandhi, means that falsely, it gives you an impression that when you need it, you won't get any help, but you will still hold on to it, thinking that that is the way it is. This illusion in our head, this is called avithadhavi sandhi. In reality, you have no connection with the body or with the world or with the family or with the society or anything. Nowhere is no connection. The way Bhagavatam put it is, first you have no connection with anything. And finally Bhagavatam says you have no connection with the body either. Knowing all these things, still we will go after these things only, nothing else. This is called avithadhavi sandhi. Do you understand that word? Avithadhavi sandhi. Shukha Brahma Rishi deliberately uses that word there to make us aware how stupid we are. That we know that These things are not going to be of any help to me at any time. Finally, when the crisis comes in life, when you have to leave this world and go, what can the world help? Which world has helped anybody? No one has been helped by the world, is it not? You have to pack and leave this place, go somewhere else. And all these things with whom we feel we have connection now, this body, this family, this world, they will all salute and say goodbye to you and go. So then you start thinking, why was I busy with all these things, all this life? Even then we won't think. That is what Sri Brahmashi is saying there. He is saying, Vilokya Vignesha Vidhim Tadeshwaro Duranda Viryo Avidadhavisandhi Avidadhavisandhi. In reality there is no connection, but you feel there is a connection. This illusion in us, to feel that we have a strong connection with the body, strong connection with the family, strong connection with the world. It is in this illusion we are living in this world, is it not? First we will look after that side first. After that, if there is anything else in spiritual life, we'll worry about it. But first, priority is always these three. Body, family and the world relationship with the world. After that, everything else. So, because it is like that, therefore, avidadhavisandhi, he says. When it is necessary, they are all useless. Everything is useless. So, main thing is, Krishna says here, when it is necessary, no matter who it is there, when the death is coming, you have to leave the body. And when the disease comes, you have to live with it. Nobody else can help you. When a serious illness comes, who can help you if you are bedridden? Or if you are stuck at home or in a hospital, people may come and visit you. And still you will think, oh, so many people have come to visit me at the hospital. So what? Has that got you out of the disease? No. You are still there in the hospital. But illusion, maya, makes us think that, oh, these are the places where, oh, because I've got so many nice relations, they all came to visit me and they brought flowers with them. What more do I want in my life? They brought flowers for me when I was in the hospital. Such nice family, friends, society. Feeling all happiness in all these kind of things. This is maya's job. That is why Srila Prabhupada uses that word, avidadhavisandhi. Avidadhavisandhi means a false illusory connection with all these things. Completely in maya, nothing else. Thinking that I have this, I have that, they will all be there for me when I am in trouble, but nobody will be there when you are in trouble. When you are sick, you have to suffer. Nobody else is going to suffer it for you. When you have to die, you have to die. Nobody else is going to take it upon themselves. So why run after them? This is the question, Srila Prabhupada's question. Vilokya Vignesha Vidhim Tadeshwaro Duranda Viryo Avidhadabhisandhi Avidhadabhisandhi. So that is why after saying all these things, you can see in the 8th canto, they brought that story of Gajendra for this reason. That is where you have to see the way Srila Prabhupada mentions that. Gajendra had very powerful body, hasn't he? He has got a very, very powerful body. Even the lions used to get frightened of that Gajendra. Normally it's the other way. Elephant is frightened of the lions. But in this particular elephant, Gajendra, lions used to get frightened of him. And he had many, many other elephants to help him also. And they were all ready there to help him because he was the head of the whole elephant community, so to say, that community. He was the head of that. And although it was all there, vidadhavisandhihi, because when he needed, there was nobody. Remember the story of Gajendra? When he was caught by the crocodile has held him strongly, all other elephants got together and pulled Gajendra out from the water. And thousand years they stood like that. Sahasra Samama Sada says that for thousands of years they were pulling this way and that way, elephant and this Gajendra and the crocodile. All other elephants, they came to help Gajendra. Initially they all tried very hard, but after a while they couldn't do anything. They couldn't. Gajendra became weaker and weaker, but the crocodile became stronger and stronger. All the blood and the meat from Gajendra's body was going to the elephants, and the elephant was acquiring strength. The Gajendra was getting weaker and weaker. So many, he had, if you read that family life of Gajendra in the Bhagavatam, you can see that he had a very fantastic family life. And like Srila Brahmarshi makes fun of that Gajendra, Grihi he calls. Grihi means like a householder. They were all together going into the swimming pool and playing with the water. He was the famous householder there, this Gajendra, splashing water on all the children and the wives, and together enjoying together, like all the householders do in this world, is it not? That's the same thing he's talking about. So in the same way that Shukha Brahmarshi says here, that what happened to that Gajendra at the end, that he says here that it was of no use to him at the end. His own health, strength didn't help. He was strong himself, it didn't help. Those who were dependent on him, their strength also didn't help. They also couldn't help. And when that is known, that my own strength is not enough, nor my so-called associates or family members or who are supporting me, their strength is also of no use to me, only when that, this will happen. Avithathavi sandhi. Avithathavi sandhi. Vithatham abhisandhi. And it is at that time the jiva will inquire. The jiva will start inquiring. That is what it mentions there. That if we look in the second chapter, when that Gajendra story was spoken, in the second chapter of the eighth canto, you will see there one verse that the last verse in the second chapter. Yakaschanesha Balinonda Koregat Prachandavekat Abhitavato Brasham Bidam Prabandam Paripadiyal Bhaya Mrityu Pradavatyaranam Tamimahi. Yakaschanesha Balinonda Koregat Prachandavekat Abhitavato Brasham Bidam Prabandam Paripadiyal Bhaya Mrityu Pradavatyaranam Tamimahi. So, what has happened? Yakaschanesha Balinonda Koregat. That he started thinking that I have put all my faith and trust in all my family members, but that didn't, they all left me and gone now. They also couldn't do anything. They tried to pull him out of the water from the crocodile's mouth, but they couldn't do anything about it. And he says here, Gajendra says here, whomever I have taken shelter, all of them, they have left me and gone. They have left me and gone. Now, who is left there to take shelter of? Gajendra says like that. Whom should I take shelter? It was at that time he came to this realization. What is that? Realization was this, that I have only permanent relationship with Krishna. Nitya sambandham it is, isn't it? That this verse in the Bhagavad Gita, Mamaivamsho Jiva Logi Jiva Bodha Sanatana, that came to his thoughts, in his thoughts by Krishna's arrangement. Krishna made him aware that actually you have got only me, nobody else. You were thinking that you have got so many others to care for you and they will protect you. This is our nature also, is it not? We'll read Gajendra's story and all that, but then we will do exactly the opposite thing, is it not? We'll think that, oh, still I got all these properties and I got so much money in the bank and I was having such a nice social life, society, friendship and love and all other things, and we'll take shelter of all that things. Krishna is saying here, it is at that time, the problem is, Krishna, we don't see him as a gross object, sthula vastu. Krishna is not gross. Therefore, we can't see Him. But we like to hold on to gross things, like the body, like the world, like the society, family. These are all gross objects, isn't it? So, through gross objects, we want to take shelter. We don't want to take shelter of something that is subtle. That is subtle. So, but although you can get hold of Krishna physically, hold Him by the hand, or you can see Him through the eyes, or hear Him through the ears, and smell Him through the nose, or taste Him through the tongue, Krishna is the only vastu what is actually you can take shelter of. This is what we have to understand. Normally, our thinking is, what is possible through the senses, we will go and take shelter. Isn't it? All our shelter is what we can make contact with senses. Body, family, world, everything is through senses that contact is. Through the senses, it is that contact is. So, when we take objects where we have found the shelter, where you have made contact through senses. Krishna is not something that you can make contact through senses in that way. First of all, He is not seen through the senses. Is it not? With senses, we can't see Him at the moment. And our senses, so Krishna is not able to, we are not able to take shelter of Krishna because senses are not able to see Him. Either the ears or the eyes or the nose or the tongue or touch, whatever it may be. So what you have to remember here is that because it is like that, like Śrīla Prabhupāda says here, that anything which you can make contact with the senses, that means through the eyes what you see, through the nose what you smell, through the ears what you hear, through the tongue what you taste, through the skin what you touch, the five senses of knowledge, through which any object what you are making contact through the senses, none of them are worthy of taking shelter. None of them are worthy of taking shelter. Any object, doesn't matter what it is, if it is through the senses you have the contact with them, you cannot take shelter of them. If it is happening through the senses. This is the principle. This is the principle. So you can see here that many, many things which you are practically perceiving direct perception, through direct perception, what you are perceiving in this world, through pratyaksha. Pratyaksha means direct perception. And things what you have thought that it will come for your shelter or for your use or your protection, practically it will come for your protection. None of them, when you try to use them for your, when you really need them, when you use them, you will see that they will cheat you. They will cheat you. This is the nature of the world. This is the nature of the world. You can see often, you will think that so many things you have acquired in life and you have kept it all very carefully, small things, bigger things, as your own. Suddenly when you fall sick one day, fully sick, and you know that you are leaving, what do you do with them? They won't come with you and you can't do anything with them either. That situation will come. So, on the other hand, that vastu which is not directly perceived, two things here, pratyaksham and anubhava, isn't it? Anything, if you take shelter, which you are perceiving through direct perception, it's not worth for taking shelter. Anything that is in your experience, that you can take shelter, anubhava. Krishna consciousness or consciousness, in other words, is awareness. And that awareness is in experience, in anubhava it is. It is not in perception, isn't it? It's not in perception. Therefore, experience is never perceived and perception is never experienced. These two different things, perception and experience. Whatever you are experiencing is never perceived. Whatever you are perceiving is never experienced. That is the message from that. Bhagavatam is telling us that. So, here, if you look at ourselves, my existence or awareness of my existence is my experience. It is not perceived, isn't it? I am existing of my own awareness. I am, aham, aham asmi. That awareness is experience it is. Is it not? That is why it stays in the Jagrat Swapnam Sushupti and Balyam Kaumaram Yavanam Vardakyam, boyhood, childhood, old age, youth, all times, even after death, it goes with you. The awareness. Whereas, everything else what you are seeing through this clear demarcation is necessary in spiritual life. Otherwise we won't understand. We will simply think that it's all rituals, spiritual life. Spiritual life is not ritual. Spiritual life is very much based on some principles. Principle is this, that on a certain level rishis have found out that anything what you experience in this world will not be perceived. What you experience, you cannot perceive it. What you perceive, you cannot experience it. This is the fundamental principle. Awareness is always experienced. It is never perceived. Everything else is perceived in this world and that perceived thing will never be experienced. You are only seeing them or you are touching them, you are tasting them, you are smelling them, but you are not experiencing them. You are never experiencing them. Everything is a sensual perception, it is. You may think that, oh, I am eating the laddu, I am experiencing it. No, you are tasting it. That's only an perception between the sense and the mind. Alma is not experiencing anything. Only thing is you are experiencing is this awareness or consciousness that's coming from the self, from Alma. That is the only experience what you have. Anubhava. Everything else is pratiti. Everything else is pratiti or what is called perception. So, you can see here, if I remember, I look into the room, all of you sitting here, it's only a perception for me. It's not in my experience. But my own existence, I am sitting, I am here, my existence is always in my experience. You cannot take it away from me. As much as I cannot take it away from you about your own experience. Isn't it? But generally when we talk, we will say, oh, I have experienced that before, I experienced this and all. So many things we will say. I had so many years of experience with this company. We will write like that in the CV. Is it not? 10 years with one company, another 20 years with another company, I had experience. What you had was no experience. Company you can't experience. Company you are actually, company is nothing but another perception it is. You go there in the morning, you stayed there and did some work and you came out. Otherwise how the company had any experience? You had no experience of the company. What you had was that your perception of the company in one particular way through your senses, you are activated and you stayed there for several years and did some work for them and got the cash and left the place. That's all. It is not in your experience. Experience means it has to remain forever. That is what awareness does. Awareness is always experience. Awareness is experience. So here, Krishna is saying here, so pratyaksham, that means what you are perceiving directly, that is vitatham. Vitatham. And experience is truth. Experience is truth. See that in that word, avitathavi sandhihi, he says, isn't it? So that is how you have to understand that. So, sometimes Shiva Brahma, she uses certain words very, very carefully, he uses them. And there will be a lot of philosophical thought behind it. Avitathavi sandhihi, he says there. So pratyaksha means vidatham, anubhava means experience, means truth. Pratyaksham is false, perception is false, experience is truth. So this word in English also, this problem comes because they have got only this word experience, isn't it? There is no other word. Like the way Shiva Brahmarshi is putting it to us, he is saying to us, avitathavi sandhihi. That it is difficult to make that understand because You have to know this difference first, very well. Pratyaksham and anubhavam. Pratyaksham is perception. Anubhavam is experience. Not the way you put your experience in the CV. Not that way. This anubhavam means, anubhavam from Shastram, when it says anubhavam or experience, it means something that will never leave you. It has to stay with you forever. Because it's your experience that you have got it with you. That's what it is. Whereas perception will come and go, will never stay. It comes, it goes. It's finished. When it's gone, it's gone. When the senses are gone, everything is gone. But so therefore, and anubhavam comes from Atma, from the soul. Perception comes from the mind and the senses. Mind and the senses. This clear separation is necessary to understand these verses. When we come to modes of nature, this is important, because without knowing this, we will think modes of nature, we feel everything, because at the moment everything is mixed up. And we will see everything in a mixed state, and therefore you will not be able to see that separation between the modes of nature and the self. Self is not under modes of nature at any time. What is under modes of nature? Under modes of nature is prakriti. Prakriti means material body, mind, intelligence, ego, senses, they are all prakriti. Krishna says that in the 7th chapter itself, isn't it? Aparayam idastvanyam prakritim vidhime param jivabhudam mahabaho yedam dharide jagat bhumi rapanalo vayu khammano buddhi revacha ahandara idiyame bhinnava prakriti ashtadha. He says, ashtadha prakriti. Ashtadha prakriti means the five material elements, mind, intelligence and false ego. Everything is taken into ashtadha prakriti. Five material elements is the body, mind, intelligence and false ego plus 3, so 5 plus 3, 8. These 8 things together is ashtadha prakriti, and that is prakriti it is. That will only always be for perception. It will never be experienced. You can never experience any of them. What you are perceiving in your mind is different than what you are experiencing from the soul. From the soul, what you are experiencing is the awareness, consciousness from the soul. That's a part of the soul. All the sensual experience, sensual perceptions of this world is what you are having in your mind. That finishes with the mind, it's finished there. It doesn't enter, move further from there. So that difference you have to know when you study this chapter. That is why it is important to mention that. So, pratyaksham or direct perception, anything what you have is false, mithya. And whatever that you are experiencing from Atma, from the soul, that is the truth. And now, as far as I am concerned, your presence here is mithya for me. Why? You are there only because I keep my eyes open. As soon as I close my eyes, you don't exist for me. But my existence for me is experience. I don't need to keep my eyes open, even without the eyes open. But in my experience, it's not there, your presence here. Only if I have the senses, I can know that you are all existing here. And because I am seeing you with my eyes, and if I don't have the eyes, I can't see you. I can't see your presence if I don't have the eye. And if it through my ears, I have to hear your sound, isn't it? If I don't have the ears, I can't hear you. So, in other words, if my senses are not operating, I have no way of knowing that you are existing. Is it not? I have no way of knowing that your existence if my senses are not operating. Isn't it? So, therefore, therefore, because it is like that, your existence for me is pratiti, perception it is. On the other hand, my own existence is my experience it is. It's not pratiti. It is not pratiti. So, if you have understood these two words, pratiti and anubhava, or perception and experience, if you have understood this properly, you have understood Bhagavadam. That's all Bhagavadam is. What Bhagavadam has to tell us is in these two words, pratiti, how to move away from the pratiti, and how to remain in the anubhava. How to move away from perception and to be stationed in the experience. That is the most important. This is all what Śrīla Brahmarṣi is doing to Parīkṣita. taking him out of pratiti and perception all the time and bringing him back to anubhavam or to experience. So, pratiti is perception, anubhavam is experience, isn't it? So, anubhavam is another aspect of awareness, bodham, consciousness, isn't it? And this anubhavam or experience is can only be attributed to Atma, to the Self. For that matter, that means consciousness only cannot have experience, anubhava. Jadam means dead matter. Or for prakriti, it cannot happen. This is another thing. Jadam or dead matter, and for prakriti, it cannot independently experience anything. So, just like this mic, if you look at the mic doesn't know that it is a mic, does it? It doesn't know it's a mic. And it also doesn't know that it is existing here. It's existing here. It doesn't know that. Instead, I know that I exist, awareness in me, and also I know I am here. I'm here. My presence here and my experience here exist in me. So this experience, what we call it as experience, anubhavam, is only in relationship with Brahman. Brahman. We use the word Brahman because that's the word used in the Bhagavad Gita. Brahman's nature is anubhavam. Brahman has this nature of anubhavam. Only Atma, which another word, Atma or Brahman, consciousness, only has got anubhavam. Jadam, dead matter, whether it's a mic or a car or a building or a light or whatever, if you take it, it doesn't have this anubhavam. None of them have any anubhavam, experience. Experience is only in the Atma. Wherever there is spirit, wherever there is a soul, wherever there is Chaitanya, living force, it has got anubhavam. It has got anubhavam. Dead matter can never have any anubhavam, experience. It can never have any experience. This is the way Shastram presented. Now, unfortunate problem here is that because we bring this word, English word, experience into it, generally experience is used in another way in English language, isn't it? As I mentioned before, I had 10 years experience with this company. Or like that we write it on the CV. But here when you bring the word experience, you have to understand this very clearly, that this word, when we talk about experience in spiritual life, experience means only that is coming from the soul, like awareness. Awareness comes from the soul. My existence or awareness that comes from the soul, that is what's called experience. What you call as experience normally in the world, that is your perception, that is. You are perceiving so many things, and that is called pratiti in the Shastram. Shastram, the word is used, pratiti. But because there is no equivalent word for experience in English, for anubhavam in the Shastram, in English, we have to use the word experience. I hope you understood what I am saying. That experience is only can happen from the Atma. For Chaitanyam only can have experience. That's the most important thing. Living force alone can have experience. Dead matter can never have experience. Never have experience. Dead matter can never have experience. So only living force inside can have experience. That is the important point. So Brahman or Atma, the same thing, has a nature. That is why, if you remember, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, when great devotees glorified Krishna, what did they say to him? Kevala anubhava swarupaha. Kevala anubhava swarupam. That is Krishna. Anubhavam it is. Krishna is experience. Krishna is not what you see through your eyes. No. That is a very lower understanding it is, to see a form and saying that this is Krishna. That is not perfect understanding. When Devadi Devi, Vasudev and many others in the Bhagavatam, if you look, when they address Krishna, how did they address him? Kevala anubhavam. Kevala anubhava swarupam. He says. You can see in so many places you will notice. Only thing is, you have to read the glorifications in the Bhagavatam. Vasudeva mentions, Devaki mentions, and many others also you will see. Kevalana Bhavananda Sarupam. Anubhavam it is. Krishna is Anubhavam, experiencing Krishna. Because Krishna is Chaitanyam, living force. Therefore, he can only be experienced. He is not for... You may perceive him. That is another thing in a form. Malsyam, Kormam, Varaham, Narsimham. That is all perceived forms for us at the moment. Because that is... that we have to come through that. That is our only windows we have got. So therefore, when you see the form and start thinking that, oh, I have seen Krishna. People say, have you seen God? They will ask the question, isn't it? God is not for seeing, God is for experiencing. God is not for seeing, God is for experiencing first. Kevalananda Bhavananda Suryupam Almadrak, he says there in the Bhagavatam. If you look in the, I think, there are so many places in the Bhagavatam, the same word is used again and again. That in the... Vasudeva Vaja, Vasudeva says Krishna when she appeared. Vidito Vosi Bhavan Sakshar, Purusha Prakriti Paraha, Kevalana Bhavananda Sarubam, Sarvabuddhidrak. Kevalana Bhavananda Sarubam, Sarvabuddhidrak. Kevalana Bhavananda, Anubhavananda, Kevalana Bhav means that continuously experienced all the time. That is Krishna. That is Krishna. It is based on that Krishna is saying to us, Mamai Vamsho Jiva Loge Jiva Bodha Sanatana. That Jiva Bodham, the living entity, that relationship with Krishna is always there. It's always an anubhava experience. As is present inside a Sandaryami, as what? As to be experienced. To be experienced. And Andaryami never goes away. All, even if you leave the body, leave the family, leave the world, and you go, Andaryami goes with you. Therefore, it is experience. Why? It is Chaitanyam. It is living force. Atma, Swarupa. Kevalana Bhavananda Swarupa, he says there. And similarly, you will see in so many other places also, you can see the same word used, Anubhavam. Experience. Krishna is experience, not seeing a form. So, that is why he says here that, so in order that experience to happen, you don't need mind, you don't need intelligence, you don't need senses. Senses, mind and intelligence is not necessary for that. For example, your own existence, awareness or consciousness, you don't require mind, you don't require senses. It's already there. It exists in you as yourself, is it not? It is there in you as yourself. You know that you exist. You don't need a mind, you don't need senses, you don't need intelligence. So that means, what does it mean? It means it has got its own nature, Swayam Prakasham. That means it is capable of making you conscious of it without the help of mind, intelligence and senses. That's the beauty of this. You are conscious of that not because you've got a mind, not because you've got senses, not because you've got intelligence. Without the help of any of them, this experience of your own awareness or existence is there. How did that happen? Then that anubhuti and its swayamprakashaka. Swayamprakashaka means that it has its own capacity to do that. It doesn't require any another agency like the mind, like the senses or intelligence. Its very nature is this, that it makes you conscious of your existence. Conscious of your existence. So this one, anubhuditvad, it says anubhuditvad. Anubhuditvad means it is called, the word used in the Shastra is not completely anubhavam. Anubhavam we say, but actually it is called anubhuti. Anubhuti it is. So anubhuti, and this is something who study Vedanta Shastra very well. It has to come to them. That is what they are looking for in Vedanta. To get this anubhuti. Anubhuti or experience. That is what they want. They are not looking for a particular form. We are looking for a form, isn't it? And we are looking for going somewhere and transporting ourselves after death. And that is what we, in a very, very, very preliminary level, when we talk about liberation, we, in a very simple form, that is how we understand liberation. That one day I will see God, and God will take me back to the Godhead, and we will settle down there and start another family life, and all other things will continue. This is a very, very, so to say, very basic way of presenting spiritual life. When you have Jiva, Ishvara, Jagat. But when you come to a deeper level, Bhagavadam or Bhagavad Gita, in Vedantam level, if you study, you will see that whatever has to happen now, here, number one. And number two, there is nowhere to go to get anywhere to get better, in a better way. Right now, within this body, everything has to happen. That is what Krishna is expecting from us. Right now, here, Bhagavad Gita's beauty is that. Bhagavad Gita is not a scripture telling you after death something. No, right now here, while living in this body, if you can break your connection with the body, within the body, while living within the body, if you break your connection with the body, Krishna says you are Jivan Mukta. You have come, you have got the goal, you have reached the goal. So it is on this. So therefore, this same Vedantam is one of the final words in the Bhagavadam also. While talking, Krishna talking to Uddhava, he mentions these things there. So, so there is a group of people called Tarkigas. Tarkigas means they have learned this Tarkashastram. Tarkashastram, Tarkashastram means through logic, arguments, and that process. So they have certain ways of proving things. Anumanam and Paksham, Hedu, so many symptoms they talk about that. So their argument is, suppose you look at the mountain, there is fire there. How did you know that? Because there is smoke coming from the mountain. So you take it that you assume or you guess that there is fire there, therefore there must be, that is why the smoke is coming out. This is called Anumanam, isn't it? So, Parvado Vanyiman Dhumavatvad. Similarly, if you want to find out that Alma exists, spirit soul exists, and Anibhudihi Swayam Prakasha. Just like if we look into the mountain, if the smoke is coming from the mountain or the hill, you can take it that there must be fire there, otherwise how can the smoke come? Similarly, if people ask the question, how do you know that the spirit soul exists? The answer is, in my experience, this awareness is coming. Awareness is the smoke. And Alma or the soul is the fire. This is how you have to connect it. That is why they will say this, Parvado Vanyiman Dhumavatvad. It is one of the sutram in the Upanishads. Parvado Vanyiman Dhumavatvar, which means that when you look at the mountain, you see the smoke coming. You assume if the smoke is coming, there must be fire. Similarly, Upanishad says, if you look into someone and if you see there is consciousness in that person, that means there is Alma inside. Soul is present inside. Soul and consciousness is like the fire and the smoke. Fire and the smoke. Smoke is nothing but from the smoke you are guessing, and that guess is correct, isn't it, of the presence of the fire. Similarly, if you see consciousness anywhere, you can take it, there is life behind it, Chaitanyam, or living force behind it. So that Anubhuti, that is called Anubhuti. Anubhuti means this experience of the consciousness inside. That Anubhuti, Shastram says, Swayam Prakashaha. Swayam Prakashaha means on its own it can manifest. It doesn't require any other senses, mind or intelligence to convince us. So, Anubhuditvar. Anubhudivar. Just like the Anubhuti, it says like that here. So, actually the problem here is that this relationship with the Chaitanyam or living force or Alma and this consciousness, it is very difficult to compare with anything in this world. Because my existence, that I am existing, that experience or awareness, that is prajnanam. If you remember this word, prajnanam. Prajnanam means prajnanam brahmam. It's one of the bhavakyams in the Upanishads, prajnanam brahmam. Prajnanam, Vedam says that prajnanam is, this prajnanam, that means this consciousness that's coming, is the nature of brahmam. Brahmam's nature is this prajnanam. So, consciousness is the nature of the truth. That is how the definition is. Prajnanam brahmam. Truth is brahmam. And the nature of the truth is prajnanam, consciousness. That means that is a declaration in the one of the Upanishads. It's a declaration. So, where will you find that prajnanam? Prajnanam brahmam, it says like that. But where will you find the prajnanam? How will you realize that prajnanam? That realization of that prajnanam is aham brahmasmi. Aham brahmasmi. That realization comes from this prajnanam brahmam. So, prajnanam is the swarupam or the nature of brahmam, and realization of that prajnanam is aham brahmasmi. Aham brahmasmi. Now, aham brahmasmi, when you say, what does it mean? I am brahmam. Isn't it? Aham brahmasmi means I am brahmam. That is wrong. That is not how to understand that. That's a misunderstanding. If you literally translate, that is how it is. But what it is, in me, in the form of awareness, who is present inside, that is Brahma. That is in me, who is present inside, who is present inside me in the form of awareness, and which already I am experiencing, that is, and who is hiding there in that way, that is Brahma. That is the meaning of that aham brahmasmi. No, never say this to anybody when they say, so I am aham brahmasmi. Aham brahmasmi. That's not correct. Because what it is indicating to us is that right now, in me, what is present there as awareness, bodham, is present in everyone, isn't it? As bodham. And that is in my own experience, it is. Right now, it is in my experience. And it is hiding. That is Brahma. That is Brahma. That is not that I am Brahmasmi. Then what will happen is, if you say I am Brahmasmi, you have not realized yourself. You are saying your body is Brahma. That's what you are telling to people. When you say to people, that sometimes we all talk like this, useless, in a casual way, I am Brahmasmi. And so you have realized what Brahma is. You don't know any head and tail of what Brahma is. You still say, I am Brahmasmi. It's nothing, he says. Sometimes devotees also say like that. Oh, it's nothing. I am Brahmasmi. What sense does it got by saying that? There's no meaning at all, isn't it? What it means is this. In me, at the moment, in me, in the form of awareness, which is present there, and right in my experience at the moment, because that awareness is in my experience at the moment, in the form of experience, who is present in me, but hiding in me. I don't know him yet, but it is in my experience, it is there, but I don't know Brahma what it is. And that who is hiding in me, and I am experiencing him, that is Brahma. That is what aham brahmasmi means. So, remember that. So, bodham or awareness is the symptom of Brahma. Symptom of Brahma. Bodham, bodham is present, awareness is present in me in the form of I am, I am, I am, isn't it? Aham rubena siddhatva paramatma. And aham rubena siddhatva, in the form of aham, I am experiencing that truth, isn't it? Otherwise, you can say, right at this moment, Krishna is experienced in us, inside. Krishna is experienced inside. That is Paramatma, Bhagavan, we address in different ways. That is, the vastu is the same. And because that vastu inside, whom what we are experiencing now as awareness or bodham or consciousness, that is Krishna. That is Krishna. Because it is Chaitanyam, from living force it is coming. And that is Brahma, aham brahmasmi. And aham, aham, aham inside me, making me aware of my own existence in the form of consciousness or awareness or bodham or avabodham, That is Brahman. But nobody is there to make us aware of that. That is the duty of the spiritual master. Because there is nobody there, nobody is able to make us aware that that is Paramatma or Bhagavan or Brahman. Brahmedi, Paramatmedi, Bhagavanidi, Shabdyade. That vastu is inside. What I am experiencing is that Brahman, Paramatma or Bhagavan. Because there is no one that has convinced that, made us aware of that, I keep on inquiring about God in the world. And even if you inquire about this God in the world, finally acharyas will take us back to this realization at the end. And what they are saying to us is, you can keep on inquiring in this world, go here, go there, find this, find that, finally you will come back here, where the source is. So,
Namo aham padhartaya lokanam siddhi hetave. Tirumular statement that is. Namo, he says there, Namo aham padhartaya lokanam siddhi hetave. Sachidananda rupaya shivaya paramatmane. Referring to Atma. He is saying that Namo aham padhartaya, the only thing what we have now, conscious or aware of Krishna's presence, is this awareness in us. Is it not? Krishna's presence inside. That is why in so many places Krishna keeps on using this word aham in Bhagavad Gita. Is it not? Aham atma guda akensha sarva bhuta shayastida aham adhyancha madhyancha bhutana amandame vajam. Then what else? Aham bija pradapida aham. Another place, isn't it? So everywhere this aham aham, when Krishna is saying this aham aham, you have to see it in this way. Otherwise it will all be confusion. You won't get anywhere. You won't understand it properly, what Krishna is saying. Wherever Krishna is using this word aham, it is all Krishna is speaking as this Brahman consciousness in that state. He is speaking from that state. Otherwise it is difficult to understand that statement. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam pravartade idi matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvidaha. Again aham. What does that aham mean? Aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam pravartade. That everything is working. Why? Aham is inside. That aham is there. So aham is that what he is saying here. Namo aham padarthaya. Who has come in the form of aham in all of us. Aham padarthaya. And that aham padarthaya, lokanam siddhi hetave. The whole world has got this aham in everybody. Sachidananda rupaya. The nature of that aham is satya chitta ananda. Shivaya paramatmane. So ultimately you have to see there Parameshwara Krishna. Aham, and in other words, aham is nothing but Krishna's manifestation. And at the moment, Krishna is available to us in the form of aham. He is available to us in the form of aham. And I am that sarupam, or the nature is atma. Sarupam is nature is atma. So you see that in the same principle which is in the spoken in the Bhagavadam as well as in the Bhagavad Gita, you will see that is mentioned in the Viveka Chudamani in a different way. How does Viveka Chudamani puts it? It puts it like this, that prakriti vikriti bhinnam shuddha bhoda svabhavam sadasatidamashesham bhavayam nirvishesham vilasita paramalma jagradadi shavastha swaham aham idi sakshal alma swaham aham idi sakshal atma chi sakshal sakshi rupena buddhe. So prakriti vikriti bhinnam shuddha bhoda svabhavam prakriti vikriti bhinnam. Why does it mean prakriti vikriti bhinnam? Means prakriti's vikriti. Prakriti's, what is prakriti's vikriti? Prakriti's vikriti is five material elements, the three subtle elements, mind, intelligence and false ego, operating together is its vikriti. Prakriti's vikriti, that is. Vikriti means its play, its game it plays. Prakriti plays the game, and that game is called vikriti, maya in other words.
So prakriti vikriti bhinnaha. Prakriti's vikriti cannot touch him. Who? Alpa.
Alpa cannot be touched by prakriti's vikriti.
Shuddha bodha svabhavam. Its nature is pure consciousness. Bodham, awareness that is. Sat asatidamashesham bhavayan bhasayan nirvishesham.
Bhasayan nirvishesham.
Sad asad.
Satta and asat, that is not affecting him.
Sat and asat is not affecting him.
Sad asat asatidamashesham bhavayan nirvishesham.
It is nirvishesham. It is not affected by any of these things. Vilasati parama alpa jagradadishavastaha.
Jagrat sapnam sushupti.
In all the three states, he is present.
Why is it spoken like that? The reason is, you see, your personality disappears in the sushupti.
Is it not?
Your personality disappears in the sushupti.
Ego, jiva,
disappears in the sushupti.
That is why it mentions,
vilasila parama alpa.
Paramatma,
Krishna's presence, Antaryami inside, who is present in everyone.
Vilasita paramatma, jagradadi shavastaha.
Jagrat sapnam sushupti, in all the three states, he vilasita, he is present and he manifests.
Soham aham ini sakshal sakshi rupena buddhehe.
Soham aham ini sakshal. That aham aham, that thought, what is in us, awareness, iti sakshal sakshi rupena buddhehe.
As a sakshi, he is present all the time.
Jagrat, sopnam, sushupti.
Balyam, kaumaram, yuvanam, vartakyam.
There is no time where he is away from us. To make that clear demarcation between Paramatma and the Jivalma.
Jivalma's problem is, as soon as he goes to the deep sleep state, he loses his identity, isn't it?
So Jiva, because it is a manifestation of that ahankaram, false ego inside,
false ego has its own limitations because it's a false thing. That's why it's called the false ego.
That is because of this falsity nature. It's like that.
So, see, this avabhodham, awareness, consciousness, which is present in the jagrat, vacant state, dream state, and the deep sleep, without any change. He doesn't change.
Vilasita paramalma.
He is present as, and he is not affected by anything.
You may be going through jagrat, sapnam, sushupti, but it doesn't affect him.
You may have sattugunam, rajogunam, tamogunam, doesn't affect him. That's the beauty.
He is not affected by three modes of nature. He is not affected by three states either.
But, and that is Paramatma, Krishna himself, or Bhagavan, or Brahman, whichever we call it. That is Brahman, that is Paramatma, that is Bhagavan. That is what Upanishads are saying to us. So, and that is our experience. That is from where this awareness is coming, which is our experience, not perception, which is our experience. But why is it that, if it is like that, why don't we experience it as Krishna's presence in us? That is where the next Mahavakya comes, Tattvamasi.
Tattvamasi.
Tattvamasi, you may have heard these four Mahavakyams, it is in the four Vedas and four Upanishads, they comes out. Yajurvedam, Rigvedam, Samavedam and Atharvavedam. In the Upanishads comes this four Mahavakyam.
Pratyanam Brahmam, Aham Brahmasmi, Tattvamasi, I am Atma Brahma.
The four Upanishad words.
Upanishad-vakyam.
So, Tattvamasi comes at this time, that the reason why you are not experiencing it is that an Acharya who have realized it, this awareness, that Tattvamasi, that he has not spoken to you. He has not given you that message yet. And because of that, and Rupam Bodho Nirvajayo Sasyaha Vasana Shunyam.
That means that when your chit is completely freed from all the vasanas inside, Vasana Shunyam, Vasana Chayam, they call it.
When all the vasanas gets dried up inside, when a self-realized acharya talks to you about tattvamasi, that message will go and hit straight into the chitta, into the chit. So he makes you realize, when the acharya talks to you, he makes you realize that chit shakti, which is present inside every one of us, bodham, it's another word for that, bodham, awareness, chit shakti, it's one and the same thing. In different places in the Bhagavatam you will see different ways used, but in essence it's one and the same thing. Just like we saw yesterday, the last class, that when we read the qualities of a person who has transcended the three modes of material nature, you read those verses. Four or five verses Krishna has spoken. A person who has transcended the three modes of material nature. Then you go and read the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Bhakti Yoga. And you see what Krishna says about the devotee. Krishna says, he is my devotee. Tulya ninda sudharma uni sandushto yena kena chit anigedasya namadar bhakti manye priyo mara advesta sarvabhudana maitra karva. There are a few verses there. Compare those two and you tell me, where is the difference between a person who has transcended the modes of nature and a devotee? They are one and the same. We are thinking, oh, these are all separate department, as we have a hierarchy there, Krishna has drawn up. That's how our mind works, isn't it? We are used to thinking like that. That because we study books in that way. If you study Bhagavad Gita, then you will be lost. You will see same quality or same terminology or words what Krishna has used to describe a person who has transcended the modes of nature, and the same words Krishna uses for a devotee who is Krishna calls as a pure devotee. So pure devotee, and the same thing you will see for a jnani also. Exactly the same thing. So whether it's a jnani, whether it's a yogi, whether it's a bhakta, or whether it's a gunadhidan, as Krishna calls in this chapter, who has transcended the modes of nature, they are all finally one and the same thing. They are not different. Unfortunately, what happens to most of us is that because we become sometimes a little bit crazy, we start thinking that, oh, these are all some untouchables, this gunadhidan, dundadhidan, no, only I'm a devotee. And that shows our ignorance, basic ignorance. That's because you have not studied Bhagavad Gita in the proper way. If you have educated yourself Bhagavad Gita properly, you won't see these differences. You will see the message more than the words. The message is more important. The message is telling us that same qualifications, what you see in the gunadhidan, you will find in the devotee nature. Nature of a devotee, nature of a gunadhidan. Because Arjuna asked the question, how do I recognize a person who has transcended the modes of nature? That was Arjuna's question. And Krishna answered that. And earlier, in the 12th chapter, when Arjuna asked, how do I find who is a devotee? Krishna answered the question in the same way. And then when Arjuna asked him, how do you know who is a sthiraprajna? Krishna answers the same answer. And when, how do I know who is a jnani? Krishna answers the same thing. So where is the difference between sthiraprajnan, gunadhidan, dundvadhidan, or a yogi, or a jnani, or a bhakta? Where is the difference? They are all one and the same. In essence, it's one and the same. Isn't it? So, coming back to this, so this tattvamasi is that realization that has come from that an acharya who has realized the truth, when he talks about that truth and make you accept it and make you aware of that tattvam what you are searching after, tvam padartham tvam asi, that tvam padartham in that tvam is that tattvam which is inside me as well. It is one and the same. That same tattvam which is present in you, tvam, is the same thing that is present in me in tat padartham, and tvam padartham is asi. Is asi. So here you can see that you will see there mentions about that. When the Acharya says to us that we in the Bhagavatam, you will mention where does he see this in the Bhagavatam? If you look into Bhagavatam in Puranjana Vakya, you will mention there. You know this Puranjana story, isn't it? Everybody knows that story of Puranjana. And it's an amazing story, isn't it? When you read that Puranjana story, we start wondering, how can such a thing happen? Even Prajina Brahis, when he heard the story, he asked the same question. He says to Narada Maharshi, "Narada Maharshi, you are a really good storyteller," he says. "I can never believe a story like this," he said. That's what he said. Immediate response from the... So when Sri Narada Maharshi spoke this Puranjana Vakyanam, which is almost 5 chapters, and that too very long chapter, 70-80 verses in each chapter. It's an amazing story, that is. So if you look in the Bhagavatam, you will see there that the in that story, finally, when Narada Maharshi, Prajina Brahis heard all this. Prajina Brahis was a Karmakandi, very attached to performing sacrifices. A lot of sacrifices he has performed. That is how he got the name also, Prajina Brahis. That means he covered the whole earth with kusha grass because of his sacrifices. Yeah. So when he performed so many sacrifices, and he has sacrificed many animals in that, one day Krishna decided to make him understand that the sacrifice is not the whole solution to the problem, and he sent Narada Maharshi to him to talk to him about it. Narada Maharshi came and spoke. When he came there and started speaking to Prajina Brahis, Prajina Brahis won't listen. He won't listen. Because he was not listening, Sri Narada Maharshi thought the best thing is to tell the whole thing in the form of a story. And that is how this Puranjana Vakyanam came. Puranjana story. King Puranjana story. Puranjana and Puranjani, husband and wife. And their happy married life, family life, all that is discussed in length in that. Great time they had. They had a great time. And at the end, when everything went wrong one day, everything went wrong, just like in every other married life also same thing, ultimately everything goes wrong, isn't it? So far, I'm seeing one married life finally ends up in a comedy, it's always tragedy. It finally ends in some disaster and everything goes away. If you look carefully, sometimes you will see in the newspaper advertised 60 years married, 70 years married and all that. You will see sometimes advertisement, what you call that, they put it up. And then if you really go and find out what's happening in the 60 years marriage, you will see that these two old couple were very, very old, 80 or 90. By now, they're finished. Body is completely gone. And when the body is seriously suffering, this so-called attraction between the man and woman is also finished with that. When the body gets finished, then it is all for himself, all for yourself. You look after yourself because your own body is going, you can't show any more consideration for others. When that stage comes, one day they get separated. They get separated. So where is all this 80 years glory? Where is that gone now? If it was such a permanent thing, it should have been there, isn't it? But it's not there. In 1 second, the whole thing is changed. So this is every family, every householder life end is like this. There is nothing to think about it too much, to analyze it. If you have eyes to see, you will see it. If you don't have the eyes, if you don't want to look at it, then it's another thing. But practically, if you look at it, every family, husband-wife relationship, ultimately ends up in this way. That even if you die in the normal way, I'm saying, if you die in accident and gone, then that's finished, you'll be forgotten in a few days. But if not, a death happens, and when they get very, very old, I have looked at it, seen it many times. That is why I'm saying with full conviction about it, how this relationship ends finally. That they have got children, they have also got children, they were 85, 90 years old. Children were 60, 65, 70. And they are also on their way out. What to talk about the seniors one, seniors. So in that state, there is no more relationship. Practically, we are counting the days. Everyone has to go their own way. So all these false things, what you have built up around you and your so-called family life, it all collapses in one overnight. Everything collapses overnight. It's a complete illusion, that one. But we still don't accept that. We'll continue to hammer around this understanding. So that is one example here. Prachina Varhis was told by Narada Maharshi about Puranjana and Puranjani story. If you see their loving relationship between Puranjana and Puranjani, what they say is made for each other. Isn't it? Made for each other. Oh, so much in love they are. The so-called love. And they are so much in love with each other, Puranjana and Puranjani. And Shubha Brahmarshi takes every opportunity to make the best utilization to open our eyes to look at it. Puranjana and Puranjani. He says there, in one of the verses, he says, when Puranjani didn't eat, Puranjana couldn't eat. This is how it was. Puranjani didn't eat, Puranjana couldn't eat. So much love between them. What to do? So he says there, and normally Shubha Brahmarshi is very careful with the words. But when it comes to things like that, he has no shortage of words. He has used words after words to tell us about Puranjana and Puranjani's loving relationship. He says to us that kochit gayati gayantyam rudati rudatyam rudati kochit. If Puranjani sings, Puranjana also sings. If Puranjani cries, Puranjana also cries. Then kochit asandhyam hasadi jalpandhyam anujalpadi. If Puranjani will talk some nonsense sometimes, so Puranjana also talks some nonsense. And kochit hasandhyam hasadi. If Puranjani smiles, Puranjana smiles. If Puranjani, so close, you could imagine how they were so close. They say they were so close family, they say. Isn't it? Our family was very, very close, people say like that. What close? Who is close here in this world? Who is close to whom? Krishna is saying there is only one close relationship, that is between Krishna and us. All other relationships are all false. It's Maya, that is. But we won't accept it. We will, like the Puranjana and Puranjani, we will live the rest of the life. And finally, when the thing, whole thing tumbles down one day, like the dominoes, it falls off, then you will start thinking, all these years I was thinking it's all going to stay forever. Kochit dhavati dhavandhyam tishtandhyam anudishtadi anushyede shayanayam anyuaste kochidasadim kochil shunnode shrinandam pashyandam anubashyadi kochil jikhandi jikhandhyam sprashandhyam sprashadi kochil kochit chashojadim jayam anushojadi dinavar anuhrishyadi krishyandam udidam anumodade vipralabdho mahishyevam sarva prakriti vanchidaha. All cheated by material nature. Sarva prakriti vanchidaha, cheated by the prakriti, material nature. Nechan anivaro tatyam klaibhyal kridamrgo yathaha. Like a kridamrgham. Kridamrgham means an animal which you keep like a pet. Like a pet. Kridamrgham as a pet. That, so, like that they lived each other. So he was mentioning all that in the Paritrabhakya. Anyway, after all that story of Puranjana and Puranjani, we haven't got time to go through all, because it's a 4 or 5 chapters, it's a long story. So anyway, what happened finally was, Puranjana and Puranjani got old, they were attacked by disease, and the body was going to go. Body was going to go. Puranjana could not fight with the disease, illness anymore, so he had to leave. He had to leave. It was at that time that in the Bhagavatam you will see that they had to take rebirth again after leaving their body. They had to take, Puranjana and Puranjani had to take birth again in the Pandidesham as the daughter of a Pandya king. He takes birth, and when they were giving up the body at that time, Puranjana and Puranjani, they are giving up the body. That Puranjani goes to the forest, and at that time she wanted to jump into the fire of the husband's body. Puranjana died, and Puranjani keeps the body in the fire, and she wanted to jump into the fire and give up her body because they were so much in love. Even when death, and then so they can start their family life and they go to the spiritual world after going there. So at that time, one Brahmana comes there. And Brahmana says to this Puranjani, there is a verse in the Bhagavatam, Aham Bhavan na chanyastvam, tum evaham vichakshabho, nanau pashyandi kavaya, chidram jadu managave. 62 verse in the 28th chapter. 4, 28, 62.
So it's clear.
4, 28, 62. That's what it is. Aham bhavan janyastvam tomevaham vijakshaho nano pashyandi kamaya chidram jadumana gabi. That's that verse. So Brahmana is saying to this, our Puranjani says to her, like that, what is the difference between you and me? Don't you know me? Don't you know who I am? Are we not? And this is this tattvamasi thing. That an acharya has to tell us finally that the truth inside you and inside him is one and the same. That tvam padartham and tal padartham is asi, is one, is not different. That is that realization. That is exactly what's happening there. He says, nanau pashyandi kamaya chidram jadu managavi. Nanau pashyandi kamaya chidram jadu managavi. Where is the difference between you and me? And the story finishes, him and her, now it is not Puranjan and Puranjani. It is Puranjani has changed, this person, Brahmanas, they both changed their body into two birds and they flew off into Manasa Sarasa. That is the story, finishes there. When the story was over, Rajinabharhi asked Narada Maharshi, Narada Maharshi, I never heard a story like this before. He could not believe it. So, because he could not understand what the message was, Sri Narada Maharshi had to explain this Puranjano Bhakyanam in depth. That you will see in the two chapters afterwards. You will see there how he explained that. And that is where so many things he has spoken about our family life there, to make us more conscious of all these things. So, so there, what is he saying? What is Narada Maharshi saying? Sorry, this Brahmana is saying to Puranjani, that vastu, what is present inside you as illuminating in the form of anubhuti, awareness, that is the same thing inside me also, and they are one and the same. They are not different. So, so when that instruction comes from the realized soul, it has to come from a realized soul, nobody else. It has to come from a realized soul. And we have to be ready for it. Only then it will work. When we have developed, freed ourselves from all the vasana inside, when all the vasanas have gone from inside, and we have that purity, chitta shuddhi inside, when we come into contact with a self-realized soul, when he speaks tattvamasi to us, it will have an immediate impact. Like it happened with Parikshit and Shukabrahmarshi. So here, at that time, in the case of that jiva, up to that time he is a jiva, and that his jiva, his shraddha shakti means that power of attention, shraddha, his shraddha will go into consciousness. Now, if you tell someone, his shraddha will not go into consciousness, it will go into body, isn't it? Whatever you say to someone about attention, about that alma, awareness inside, it's not going there. Shraddha is going to body still. It's not going to the alma. But when a situation comes, that when we have completely purified ourselves from all other vasanas and impurities inside, and our chit shakti comes in operation, in other words, chit shuddhi has happened, at that time, when a self-realized soul, he instructs us on tattvajnanam or tattvamasi to us, at that time our shraddha shakti, which goes into normally into the body, will go into the soul, will go into the soul. So in a much more different language, shakta bhasha, in other words, you see, the same thing exists in all other traditions also. Shaktayam, Vaishnavam, Shaivam, Pancharatram, Agamam, they're all it exist. In Shaktaya Bhasha, if you say, that means those who are worshippers of Shakti, as Durga, as in that who follows that route, in their language, if you say, your Shraddha will go into Bhaindavasthanam, Bhaindavam they call it. Paindavasthanam. That's where Shraddha goes. Paindavasthanam is the place where the presence of Atma. So, in other words, at the moment the Shraddha or attention does not go to that place, where the awareness is there. No matter how much we explain, it doesn't go there, isn't it? It always goes into the mind, goes to the intelligence, or goes into the body somewhere. It never goes to the place where it's meant to go. But when this happens, that means when our purification is perfect, when we have developed all that qualifications for as a disciple or a devotee, the perfection has come in us. And at that time, if a realized soul speaks this Tattvamasi to us, or the Upanishad's instructions to us, immediately that Shraddha Shakti will go and touch that place, that spot, where awareness is present. That's when it happens. Awareness will happen. So, in order to change our mind to Shraddha, at the moment, Shraddha is present in us in the form of mind. Mind is the Shraddha. Shraddha is not different from the mind. I think we have got everything wrong. Because you know why? When we say normally, somebody tells you, mind is manas, isn't it? Which is sankalpam vikalpam vidas. Then we say, attention is Shraddha. So we start thinking attention is different from the mind. Isn't it? Attention is not different from the mind. Mind is the attention. Shraddha is the mind. What is happening is, when we are developed, that spiritual purification happened inside, there is no more mind. Mind becomes a Shraddha. Mind becomes Shraddha. For example, you see, the difficulty is this, that when you use this word attention, because it is used from English, it has one meaning. Suppose, for example, somebody is talking to you about some topic, and you say, be attentive to what I'm saying. You give me your attention, isn't it? But that is attention it is. That's not Shraddha. In spiritual life, Shraddha is only in relationship with self-realization. Everything else is not Shraddha. Shraddha is only in relationship with self-realization. Whereas attention is for everything. Anything if somebody is saying, he will tell you, be attentive. That can be said, you can say, but not Shraddha. You can't say Shraddha. Just like we talked about Anubhava. Anubhava is not experience only. Experience is for everything. It's a general terminology, experience. But Anubhava is only in relationship with Atma, the soul, and direct experience from the soul. That is Anubhava. It's not for Anubhava. Everything else is perception, pratiti for the rishis. For the rishis, everything else is pratiti. Suppose I'm talking to you about chemistry or physics, and I'm telling you, give your attention. That is actually attention, but it's not Shraddha. It's not Shraddha. So that difference you have to keep in mind when you read through these verses. So Krishna is saying here that this energy inside, this power of Chit Shakti, which comes in the form of mind, that is converted into Shraddha through the process of chanting the holy name, through meditation, and through various austerities and penances. All this helps to change the mind into Shraddha. Manashakti changed to Shraddha Shakti. The power of the mind turns into Shraddha Shakti. So I think it's quite past by. We'll have a short break.
Cheto Dharpana Marjanam Vamaha Davati Nirvavanam Shreya Kainava Chandriya Vidaranam Vidyavadhu Jeevanam Anandambudivardhanam Pradimadam Purnamrita Swadhanam Sarvapna Sumanam Param Vijayade Shri Krishna Sankirtanam Nannamakari Bahudanija Sarva Shakti Tatrahvidane Vidasmaranena Kala Edadrishindava Kripa Bhagavan Mamami Gurdeva Medrishamiha Janina Anuraga Tranara Vishni Jena Tanora Visahishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari Madanam Janam Sundarim Kavilam Vajagadishakamai Mama Janmani Janmani Shwari Bhavadad Bhaktirahai Dugitvai Ainandana Nujakin Jaram Padidamam Shame Bhavam Budho Krupayadava Padamam Gajastita Dhule Sadrsham Chindaya Nam Galagashudharaya Vadanam Gajadarudhaya Giram Pulakaya Vijidam Kadavavu Tavannam Grahane Bhavishyadi Yukayidam Nimeshenam Chakshusham Pravishayidam Shunyayidam Jagal Sarvam Govinda Virahenami Ashvishyavapadaranam Pinishtumam Adarshanam Marmahadam Karotuvam Yadhadadava Vidadadalambadam Matrananathastunayevanaparam
So, we're talking about the Shraddha. So, Shraddha and mind, they are not two different things. When the mind gets purified, or mind means, purification means, vasana kshayam happens, or vasanas goes away from inside. When we don't have any more vasanas inside, and at that time, that mind will turn into Shraddha. Mind will turn into Shraddha. And in order to do that is where we require this sadhana. Japam, tapasya, dhyanam, so all these kind of also different sadhana process is only for that purpose. So in that situation, when it is mind is absorbed in matter, the same mind is Jada Shakti. And that mind, when it becomes Shraddha, it becomes spiritual. You see? Mind, when it is absorbed in the matter, for example, in the world, in the job, in the family, in various other things, in relationship with matter, it is Jada Shakti. Mind is Jadam. And in the same mind, when it is purified and it became Shraddha, Shraddha means attention towards the soul. And when it becomes like that, it becomes Jada, it is not anymore Jadam. Jada Shakti gets purified. So what happens is, when it gets purified, this mind which goes into the world in the form of different emotions, different thoughts, isn't it? And that mind will turn inwards. And that is when it becomes Shraddha. Andarmukhatvam. Andarmukha pravaham, it's called. The flow inwards. Andarmukha pravaham, that's what the word they use. So, at the moment it is going out and it makes contact with the objects in the world and the mind is absorbed in the world and that means it's contact with the matter and it is a Jada Shakti. When mind is purified through sadhana process, various sadhana, japam, tapam, dhyanam, all other things, when it gets purified, that mind which is going out into the world will start going inwards and then it becomes Shraddha. Then it becomes Shraddha. And it starts flowing inwards and it is at that time, it is mentioned there, that it is, nature is Pratyak. Pratyak Pravaham. Pratyak Pravaham. You will see that word in the Kathopanishad used. Pratyak Pravaham. The flow, instead of going out, it is start going in. And that is Pratyak Pravaham. Pratyak Pravaha. Flow inwards, in other words. Mind turns inwards. It is at that time when one starts inquiring who I am. Who am I? What's my spiritual nature? What's my nature? And what is the nature of this experience I have? I am, and evolve, awareness. Where is that coming from? And you'll start realizing that anubhavam or that experience or awareness is nothing but the presence of Krishna inside. Krishna Surupam it is, Brahman, Bhagavan, Paramatma, who is present inside, it is that awareness. And for that awareness, what is inside, at that time you will see there, the body, mind and the world, all of these things is nothing but a reflection of its presence inside. At the moment we are thinking all the world is real, the body is real, the society is real, so many things are real for us because we are seeing with the eyes, isn't it? When Shraddha turns inwards, when it becomes Pratyak, Pratyak Pravaham, at that time, this body, mind and the world takes a different dimension altogether. It's not any more important for the Shraddha. Shraddha starts making him realizes that all these manifested things, like the world, like the body, like the other society and everything, is nothing but a that in the spiritual sky, which is Chidakasham, they call it, in the Chit Shakti, it is an experience that is coming. Instead, that bodham or awareness inside is permanent. Awareness is permanent. All these things are transitory. World is transitory, body is transitory, mind is transitory, intelligence is transitory, senses are transitory, ego is transitory. Everything is transitory thing. You start seeing the real one inside, what is actually we are. That is why Krishna is saying to us that always remember, he says, is the body, world and body, the world and family and all other things, we have no connection with them. Our connection is with Krishna, not with the world, not with the body, not with the family. These are all connections that just we said before in the beginning, that as much as the body, what you had, if you believe in the birth before, that you had a body, where is that body now? It is not even in your memory, it has gone away. Similarly, so many bodies have come and gone, that is not even in your memory now. Similarly, this body also is not in your memory, it will go. One day it will go and that's finished with that. And then there is no more, you won't remember about this body anymore. So what is indicating to us is, we have no connection with the body. That's the most important thing. So Krishna is saying here that finally when you realize this Shraddha turns inwards and attention falls on the Atma, Chit Shakti inside, at that time you will know Chit Shakti is real, world is not real. Chit Shakti is real, body is not real. Chit Shakti is real, mind is not real. You will completely change your understanding of this body, mind and the world, everything will go away from inside. So at that time, he says that in the vast sky, just like if you see a small bubble, similarly, this body is that in this body you will see this vast sky which is known as Chit Shakti. In that Chit Shakti, this body is like a bubble that existed in the vast Chit Shakti. Chit Shakti is bigger because our mind and our senses, and we are so much on a mental faculty, everything we see in the gross level, is it not? We can only understand gross things. Mind measures something and the senses reports that and we accept that. That's how we are normally. But in the spiritual understanding, when we start seeing that the Chit Shakti is the reality, reality is only Chit Shakti. Chit Shakti or that awareness. In that awareness, that you will see there that Krishna is that awareness, and in that awareness this body is nothing but a small bubble which has appeared and it will go into disappear in the same way. So that kalpadartham, so if you look at that tatvamasi mahavakyam, that tvam is jiva, tvam is jiva. That means as long as I am thinking that I am sitting inside this body, that is that tvam padam. Tvam padam is that jiva. If I am taking that, I am sitting inside this body. So when it is like that, whatever meditation or japa, whatever you do, or yoga process, whatever you do, fully you won't realize the truth. You won't realize the truth fully, because whatever experience you may have, after the experience, this is important. whatever spiritual experience you may have while living in this body, as soon as that experience is gone, you will wake up into the body again. You will come back into the body again. Because, and just like when you have some severe problem with the body, you will, what will you do? You will try to take your attention away from the body, isn't it? You will watch some nice program on the television where you can move away from the body. People do that, don't they? To take the attention away from the body. Some entertainment, some form of entertainment. We make it spiritual by putting a video from Vrindavanam or some spiritual story. Then you will feel satisfaction that I am watching something spiritual. And that way you will, I can't do any sadhana, but I am seeing some Ramanand Sagar, Mahabharatam or Ramayanam or something like that. You will take shelter of that because you are sick, you don't want to do any serious sadhana. Even otherwise there is no serious sadhana, but still, whatever little you are doing, that also will stop there as soon as you get sick, is it not? Because you can't do it. So there is no strength inside. Then you say that, oh, we shouldn't watch any karmi movies. So instead we will put on some television channel, Asta or whatever you can get hold of. There are so many like that now. Or some Ramanand Sagar's movies, or now they also know there is a market for that. So they also keep on producing one after the other. And we'll put on that and say, oh, even though I am sick, I am very spiritual still. Because I am watching a Shivapuranam or Vishnupuranam movie. So it should be okay. That's the way we think. But what I'm saying is that if you switch off that TV and the entertainment is over, you'll come back to the body again. Yes or no? That's what happens to all of us, isn't it? You switch the TV off and your Vishnupuranam, Shivapuranam is over, you're back into the body again. That's not what Krishna is saying here. Krishna is saying here that you have not come out of the prison yet, you're still in the prison. So that Brahman, that illusion will still remain. Will still remain. That is where Shruti is telling us that that Tvam Padam has to become Talpadam. In that word Tatvamasi, Tvam Padam has to become Talpadam. That is what it is. That Talpadam means that, and in order to do that, to make it accepted inside, that you need a spiritual master, a realized soul. And that spiritual master's words, your attention has to fall. Your attention has to fall in that. And in order that to fall, you have to be free from all the impurities inside. Chitta-shuddhi has to happen. So you can see how spiritual life works. Spiritual process is like that. First chitta-shuddhi. Chitta-shuddhi is first thing. That means chitta-shuddhi, that is why if you look into Bhagavatam, you will see there that in order to get that chitta-shuddhi, what you have to do? Krishna says there. If you look into the 10th chapter, in the 11th canto, you will see there so many things mentioned about what does he say there? He says there, Amani, Amalsaro Daksho, Nirmamo Dridasau Hridaha, Asatvaro Arthajinyasu, Anasuyo Amokhavak. When all these qualifications are there in a person, Yamana Bhishnam Sevede, Neyaman Malparakvachil, Madavinyam Gurum Shandam, Upasidam Adalmagam. These verses in the 10th chapter. To talk to us, Krishna is saying that Amanyamal Saro Daksho Nurmamo Dradasauhradaha Asatvaro Artha Jinyasu Anasuyo Amokhavak. If all these qualities are there in that person, he will develop that Chitta Shuddhi. This is all for symptoms of a person with the Chitta Shuddhi. Amani Tvam, Amal Saratvam, Amal Saratvam, Daksham, Daksha, Nurmamattvam, Drada Sauhridattvam, Asatvaram, Artha Jinyasu, Anasuya, Amokhavat. You can look at the Bhagavatam later. These are the symptoms of a person who has got Chitta Shuddhi in him. He will have Chitta Shuddhi. Because only if you have Chitta Shuddhi, you will have these things. And when you have those things, and then if you approach a spiritual master, like who? Jaya Yamana Bhishnam Sevedi, Neyamanval Param Kochil, Madhavinyam Gurum Shandam, Upasidam Adalmagam. That is the Guru's qualifications. What is, first one is Guru's qualifications, the second one is disciple's qualification. If this Guru And if this disciple meet with each other, and if this guru talks tattvamasi, gives instruction of tattvamasi to this disciple, it will have its effect. Otherwise not. Otherwise, like we can go on like the way we are today. Life after life, another institution, service, and another diksha, this will continue forever. Nothing will change. Because we are not following anywhere what Shastram is saying to us. Is it not? We have made the whole thing so institutionalized that it becomes very difficult now to come out of it. Because that's all what we know. We don't know anything else. What we know, we are doing it, is it not? So it's a very sad thing. That you can see Krishna is saying here also that spiritual life is not based on rules. You can't run spiritual life based on rules. Each one of us are different. And we have to live that. We need that freedom. Instead of taking us to freedom and independence, you are binding a person more and more with institutions and bondage. That's what we are doing all the time with people. We tell them somehow or the other we have to put the net on the man and get him in. And so that he will never escape from us. This is bondage. This is not freedom. This is not liberation, mukti. Is it not? So there itself we have this difficulty. That is why even great acharyas, when they had to frame some institution, they made sure that you don't get trapped in that. In such a way you do it that people don't feel that they have been stuck in that situation. So here, so you can see, like I mentioned, that you see the video or you see the movie, but you come back to the body again. And what that means? It means that you start realizing, oh, I'm going to die. I've got all the distress of life. I've got to do all kinds of karma in this world. And then you will know that you're not out of the prison yet. You're not out of the prison yet. That is where Shruti is saying here that that tvam padam in tattvamasi has to become talpadam. Has to become talpadam. That bodham has to happen inside. And the guru has to come and guru has to instruct that at that time. So instead of that, first of all, in order to have that Shraddha inside, Guru has to be there, proper Guru must be there. Talpada Vachyam, that Guru has to be a person who has that Tattvamasi realization. If he is also in the like the Tvampadam, then that will not work. He only knows the Tvampadam, doesn't know the Tattvadam. So that Guru at least must be in that state. So, Brahman, Yubarvashandam, Nirindana, Ivanala. That is the way it is spoken about that spiritual master. He has to be such that Brahman, Yubarataha, Shandaha, Nirindana, Ivanala. If you look how that spiritual master should be, otherwise it will not happen. That is the minimum requirement of that spiritual master. Nirindana, Ivanala. Nirindana, Ivanala means that like a gas cylinder. It's no gas inside. That means it won't catch fire, isn't it? So he mentions like that. That so yeah. So Shrotriyam Avrijino Akamahatoyo Brahma Vittamaha Brahmanyuparadashantho Nirindhana Ivanala. Nirindhana Ivanala. There is no Indhanam. Indhanam means fuel. If there is fuel, it will catch fire. Is it not? If there is fuel in the cylinder, it will catch fire. Nirindhana means no fuel. Therefore, it cannot catch fire. If vasana is the fuel, if there is vasana inside, and if he gives you tattvamasi instruction, it will not work. Shrotriyaha avrijino akamahato yo brahmavitamaha. He must be. In the Upanishads, it's very clear about that. Shamilpani Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam. It says he should be situated in Brahman platform. He should be situated in the Brahman stage, Brahman realization. Otherwise it won't have any effect. it won't have any effect. So that's what important thing. That Brahman Yubaradaha Shandaha Nirindhana Ivanala Ahetuka Daya Sindhu Aihoiduka Daya Sindhu Bandhu Anamatam Satam. These are all a spiritual master's description. When he has all these qualifications, then he can have the, he can instruct a person that who is based in the, well versed in the Vedam, Shastram, sinless, no desires inside, completely empty cylinder, in other words, withdrawn himself in the realization of the truth. He is calm, like fire that has consumed its fuel, who is a boundless reservoir of mercy. He is so merciful. That's what he says. Ahaituka daya sindhu. Daya sindhu. Bandhu. Anamatam satam. Anamatam satam. And he is a friend. Genuine friend. He is a genuine friend. So now you can see how difficult that role is. It's not something that you can appoint somebody into that. If you appoint, what will happen? What's happening now? Will happen. That's all. If you appoint people, this is not a job. We are making it a profession-like thing, isn't it? Appointing people, like the Guru is appointed Guru. How you can appoint Guru? Guru is this. This is what Guru's qualifications. Whether it is Viveka Chudamani or in Bhagavatam, it is the same thing. There is no difference at all. You don't appoint Guru. You become Guru manifest. Krishna manifests through that person when all these qualities are there. Then it is a Guru. Otherwise not. So here you can see Nirindhana Ivanalam, that means it is at that time. Nirindhana Ivanalam means that you'll also see that word what they have used is mentions there that in that Brahman Uparataha, he says. Brahman Uparata Shando Nirindhana Ivanala. What is Brahman Uparata means? Brahman Uparata means he should be situated in that state. He should be situated in the Brahman state. Brahman Uparata Shanda. And he should have that experience within himself. And that experience, what he has got, he is able to part that with the disciple. He should be able to part that to the with the disciple. That is what that transfer from the spiritual master to the disciple. And that is what is happening in the Bhagavatam. We have the best example in Srimad Bhagavatam, is it not? That's what's happening in the Srimad Bhagavatam. After talking stories for 7 days, Shukha Brahmarshi says to Parikshit, what did he say to him? And he says to him, don't think that you're going to die. This is Tattvamasi is telling him in a language that Parikshit can understand. But the Vastu is the same. Says to him, Tum tu rajan mari shedi. Pashubuddhim imam jahi. If you look into Bhagavatam, you will see there. Because that is the problem here. That in the, if you look into that fifth chapter, he says, that tum tu rajan mari shedi. This is 12:5:2. Tum tu rajan mari shedi. Pashubuddhim imam jahi. Na jadaha. Fragabodhodhya. Dehavatvam na nankshasi. You see that fifth chapter is a very important chapter where finally Parikshit Maharaj is realizing the truth. That's what's happening there. Tum tu rajan marishyedi pashubuddhim imam jahi na jadaha. He says to him, you are not born. Pragabodhodhyam dehavatvam na nankshasi. Deham, you are not meant to die because you are not born, first of all. Only if you are born, you have to die, isn't it? You are never born, he says. Na jadaha, he says, you are not born. Pragabodhodhyam, that this false understanding, like that you are going to die. Dehavatvam na nankshasi, like the body, you don't die. You don't take birth, you don't die. You have to see the weight of that statement. Tum tu rajan marishyedi, pashubuddhim imam jahi. This is Pashubuddhi. Pashubuddhi is that I am going to die. I am going to die. Devotees, we will say, oh, I am going to leave my body, they say. In a little bit more refined way. If you say like that, you think it has become spiritual, don't you? If I say I am going to leave my body, if I say like that, it becomes... No, it's not become spiritual. You are saying this in another way. Another two words you have used, that's all. Still you are understanding it, still that you are dying. Whereas here in the Bhagavatam, it's very clearly Parikshit Maharaj is being told, you don't die. Because there is no such thing called death for the Atma. If you realize the truth, there is no death. But what do we propagate? We say to people, look at the time of death. We have a whole squad, that squad will come. And they will do Tulsi Mala and and everything. And then you are guaranteed, you are going back to that right place, you will be. Only he knows, poor man, who has gone. He thinks, oh, I'm on my way. But he will end up somewhere in Pitalogam or Yamalogam, where he's going to end up, who knows about it. If it was that simple. If that is all correct, then this is all wrong then. Is it not? Either you accept this or you accept that. You have to accept one of them only. Here, it is crystal clear to us, anyone who reads Bhagavatam, that Tundurajan Marishedi Pashubuddhi Mimam Jahi. If you propagate, there's a thing called death. For we frighten people with the death, don't they? Don't we? We frighten them, saying to them that, you know, death is going to come for you one day, and we'll be there for you. And we'll take care of you, everything, and then you feel happy. Oh, I got another insurance policy, like you got for all other policies, one more policy. You get, like your washing machine and other things you got policy, is another extra policy you got for that. That's all it is, nothing more than that. But this, what Krishna is saying, Shiva Brahmarshi is saying here, Tundurajan Mahishyedi Pashubuddhi Mimam Jahi. This, first of all, while living in this body itself, we have to get out of this concept that there's a thing called death. That is the success of spiritual life. Not what happens after death, that somebody offering you so many. You can offer anything, isn't it? I can get, tell you, I'll tell you, I'll give you a check when you're dying, which is worth £1,000,000. What value has it got? At the time of death, that check, that's all it is. Tundurajan Marishedi Pashubuddhi Mimamji. Give up that Pashubuddhi. He calls it as Pashubuddhi. Pashubuddhi means animal intelligence. Animals speak about death. Animals are frightened about death all the time. And if you are also like that, your intelligence is Pashubuddhi. Then, na jadaha. These are important things. This is, we have to hear this from the realized person, Shiva Brahmarshi. Na jadaha. There is no such thing called birth, first of all. Praga bhudodhya. Dehavattvam tanankshesi. That dehavattvam tanankshesi. Deham. Shariram will die. It is meant for destruction. You are not meant to die. There is no such thing called death for you. This realization, while living within this body, if we get it, we got it. It will never go again. That is self-realization. That is spiritual life. Everything else is just an eyewash. It's all a waste of time. Nothing is going to happen. That is just getting misled by the that's the way religion works. Religion is always like that. So, coming back to this, Krishna says there, that this is why we have to study Bhagavatam, for this understand. Through this example of Shiva Brahmarshi and Parikshit, they are telling us something very important, isn't it? So, and it is not for entertainment, all these things. Here, he says to him, before Tatshaga comes and bites you, this Amrutanubhavam, experience of this immortality, must come. He says to him, Dashandam Tatshagam Padi Lelihanam Vishalmana Nadrakshasi Shariram Cha Vishwam Cha Pratakalmana Dashandam Tatshagam Padi Lelihanam Vishanalehi Nadrakshasi Shariram Cha Vishwam Cha Pratakalmana. See how beautifully he presents them. That Dashandam Tatshagam Padi, when Tatshagam comes and bites your feet, Lelihanam Vishananehi, that poison will come. That poison, Nadrakshasi Shariram Cha Vishwam Cha Pratakalmana. You won't be seeing the body anymore, because poison will come to the body, body will change. But that change that is going to happen into the body will not have any effect on you. Why? Vishwamcha prathat almanaha. That in Alma, in that Chitshakti, in the soul, these things like this body, this world, Tatshaga, all of them is nothing but a show that is coming and going, coming and going. This is realization. This is realization. The important thing is Alma, not Tatshaga, not the poison, not the body that's been bitten by the Tatshaga. In the background of that Chitshakti, or what Krishna mentions as the Prathak Almana, in the Alma, these things are happening. Alma or Chitshakti or Chidagasham, it's called, spiritual sky in other words. that in that space, so many things are happening in that Chit Shakti. So, so before Takshaka comes and bites you, you have to reach that state of no death, deathlessness, in other words. And you have to see that, experience that inside. Only then it will save you, otherwise it will not save you. Otherwise, everything will go in the way it's going now. You can, only thing is that you can feel, you take that insurance policy about the time of death, also you can now do all this. This will be another insurance policy, that's all. It can pay for your funeral. Or like, that's what people take that for, isn't it? To pay for the funeral, they say. So, so what's the use at the end? Where is spiritually anything done? So, sarvam vyartham marana samaye samba eva sahayaha. Everything is waste at the end. Everything. Highly realized souls will tell us everything in this life is a waste. Only thing is at the time of death, Krishna's help. Krishna is the only person who can help. Nobody else. In this realization, what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad, in the Bhagavad Gita, and Krishna's help, that is what is required. If Krishna gives us this understanding, that means Krishna's grace has come. If this understanding, if we got it before death happens, then you have got, received Krishna's mercy. That is what is mercy means, this understanding. That is what, that is why, that is why towards, so, sarvam vyartham, sarvam vyartham, everything is waste at the end. Marana samaye, at the time of death you will know, everything what you have done here, 60 years, 70 years, 80 years, all gone, in one stroke, it's over, is it not? And that is where Parikshit was told by Shukra Brahma, she says to him, Tonturajan Marishedi Pashubuddhi Vimam Jehi Na Jadaha Pragabodhodya Dehavatvantam Nakshasi Tantu Nakshasi. So, so long as you are living in this world with identification with the body, you are an animal. That is Shukra Maharshi's words. As long as we are living in this world thinking that I am this body, or in the bodily consciousness, I am an animal. I am an animal. When I realize that I am not this body, and he mentions there, you will see if you go further in there, gathe bhinne yatha akasham akashasyal yatha apura evam dehe mrude jivo brahma sambadyade puna ev gathe bhinne yatha akasham akashasyal yatha apura evam dehe mrude jivo brahma sambadyade puna. That is this gadagasham, madagasham. Gadagasham, madagasham. That means here, the same tattvam, Shukra Brahmarshi is saying to Parikshit. When a pot breaks, the sky inside the pot dissolves with the sky outside. There is only one sky, isn't it? Gadham was there, the pot was there, when earthen pot, gadagasham. Gadagasham and madagasham. The sky in the pot, this, when pot breaks, it becomes one with the sky outside. So similarly, when this body drops, that Atma inside becomes one with the consciousness, supreme consciousness. There is no separate existence anymore. So, because Shukra Brahmarshi says to him that in reality, that sky inside of the pot was never separate from the sky outside. In our perception through the senses, we felt that there was a pot, but sky was always one. There was no separate sky in the pot and outside. There was no separate sky. Because nothing happened when the pot breaks, is it not? Nothing happens. Pot breaks and pot goes and dissolves to the earth. Similarly, his point here is that when the pot breaks, like the sky becomes one with the sky outside, in a similar way, this body, when it drops off, the Atma, the soul or consciousness inside, which had never had any contact with the body, it becomes one with the Supreme Consciousness. Supreme Consciousness. In other words, this body in the Chidakasham, in that spiritual Chit sky, Chidakasham, it's only an appearance, it's not a real. Like the pot is an appearance. Temporarily it has appeared in the form of a pot and it will disappear. So let that disappear, and again many other pots will come and go, which means many different bodies can come and go. But the truth, which is always this, that the sky inside is one with the other consciousness, is different, and know that, and that is Tattvamasi. That is Tattvamasi. That is why you mentioned there, you can see that, if you study that fifth chapter, it's only 13 verses, you'll say, Aham Brahmam Param Bhavam Brahmaham Paramam Padam Evam Samikshan Almanam Almanyathaya Nishkale. That verse. Aham Brahma Param Bhavam Brahmaham Paramam Padam Evam Samikshan Almanam Almanyathaya Nishkale. That realization will come at that time. That is that realization, Tattvamasi. You can only, all these things are, and he also mentioned that, Dashandam Tatshagam Spade, Lelihanam Vishananehi, Nadrakshasi Shariram Cha, Vishwam Cha, Pradhakalpana, Yedathe Kaditham Tatha, Yedhalma Prishtavan Nrupa, Hare Vishwalmanas Cheshtam, Kim Bhuya Shrodumichasi. Look at the way how Shri Brahmashi finishes that chapter. He says to Parikshit, Parikshit, have you got it? He said, Evam Edathe Kaditam Tada, my dear son, he says. Tada means son. Edathe Kaditam Tada, Yadhalpa Prishtavan Nurba, my dear king, have you got it? What I am saying? Hare Vishwalmanas Cheshtam, Hare Krishna. Is this Vishwam, Alma, is Krishna. Cheshtam kim bhuya shrodum ichasi. What do you want to hear anymore after this? That was the last question he asked Shukha Brahma. After that, Shukha Brahma, she has not spoken anything, not a word after that. Kim bhuya shrodum ichasi. What do you want to hear? Because he knew after getting it, he won't have any more questions. That's why. That's why with that full confidence, Shukha Brahmarshi is asking him, Kim Bhuya Shrotam Ichasi. Because Shukha Brahmarshi knows there is no more question after that. After that self-realization, what question can you ask? You can't ask any question after that, can you? Because you have got it. The truth, you have realized it. So that is why Kim Bhuya Shrotam Ichasi. The last word there, the chapter finishes like that. You won't see any more Shukha Brahmarshi saying one word after that. Because he has got it. No. Then what you hear there is Parikshit saying, I've got it, I've got it, I've got it. He keeps saying, I got it, I got it. So this is spiritual life. What Krishna is saying here also, that Gharagasham, Madhagasham. So these verses, especially these 13 verses in that fifth chapter, one must sit and go through that verse in depth. Very deeply analyze them. That is what it's meant for. Because it's Brahmopadesha. By constantly scrutinizing it, analyzing it and studying these verses, it will benefit a person. He will start seeing spiritual life properly. Otherwise, you will get hooked up in all the other drama going on in this world. You will get caught up in all other fuss, what we make out of spiritual life. So, so whether you are hearing this or not hearing this, it's not important for me too. It doesn't matter. Whether you tell me the right thing or wrong thing, whether you create an institution or don't create an institution, that's all secondary. The so-called institution, what we think is created and we think that institution is going to solve all the problems, that's illusion. That is Maya. My only problem today is this realization, how I can get that. That is my problem in spiritual life, isn't it? Why? Because death is standing right in front of me. What institution can help? Who can help? Institution. Institution can send you a tulsi garland or a piece of ladu or some tulsi leaves or a glass of charanamadam or water. That's all institution can do. What else institution can do? Institution can't do anything. You have to take the Parikshit's situation here. What he is going through. He didn't say, Shiva Brahma, she sat there 7 days and spoke to him the truth and made him aware what the truth is, isn't it? And so if you have fear of death, that disease, problems of life, and how will I escape from this? This is the question. And the answer is this. There is no other answer to that question. Nobody can give you another answer to that. And in that particular thing, we have to be selfish. We have to be selfish. Because selfishness is necessary here. If you don't take it, you think that, oh, if I look after myself, it's not selfishness, you may think. It's not selfishness. But if you get God trapped in all other things in this world, thinking that I have to serve this world, and I have to preach the world, change the world, save the world, all ideas comes to us. And people will tell you all these things. Because that's what they have understood. So what can you do? They will tell you what they have understood, is it not? So it is up to us, after reading Srimad Bhagavatam, understanding Bhagavatam, to see what is the right thing to do. If you accept the authority of Srimad Bhagavatam, if you accept the authority of Shukam Brahmarshi, Parikshit, and Vedavyasa Maharshi and Krishna, then you have to accept what they are saying. Otherwise it has no meaning. So person who utilizes this selfishness properly, he is the most selfless person. Most selfless person. And the world will see him as the most selfless person. Most selfless person. No, world will never tell you, oh, you realized the truth on your own and went away. They will never complain about it. Because if you realize the truth, the amount of help that a realized soul can offer to this world is so high. Nobody else can offer that help from a self-realized soul. That is why Krishna is saying, a self-realized soul can impart you the knowledge because he has seen the truth. Isn't it? The Bhagavad Gita, we can see there. So, sarva dharmat swartham sambhadayet sudaham. So, what is the greatest selfishness? Greatest selfishness is this, how to jump out, escape from birth and death. Birth and death. And whoever makes that decision inside for that, and who makes that decision, he will always be selfish. He will know what that is. Not selfishness, realizing the truth is not selfishness. Doing other things in this world is selfishness, but realizing self is not selfishness. So what will happen is that a person who has become selfish in this way, in the way Srimad Bhagavatam, Parikshit just becomes, otherwise you may say Parikshit is very selfish. He should be preaching, isn't it? Why is he sitting there and realizing the truth and talking 7 days when he's going to die? He should be preaching out there to the world. But he was not doing that, was he? He was sitting there and listening to Srimad Bhagavatam from Shiva Brahmarshi. So from there you can see that such a person if you look at him, you will see here that in the name and fame and all other sense enjoyment, and also to be in the friend of everything, in front of everything in this world, in all of them, if you become selfish in this way, you will lose your selfishness in all other areas. Once you become selfish in this path, the way Parikshit has become selfish, what will happen is your selfishness to become famous and to become a big name or wealthy person, acquire wealth, or to be in the friend of everything, in all assemblies to be in the friend, or everywhere you want recognition, all that will go in one lot once you become selfish in this way. That is the beauty of this selfishness. Whereas the other selfishness makes us that we will beat everybody out to come to the friend. I have to be there at the top, isn't it? And if I'm not there, then nobody should be there. This is the other side of it. So that is what Krishna is saying here. This person will be willing to sit in the back bench in everything else because he knows what selfishness has to be for realizing the self. So you can see that it is with this selfishness that Parikshit is sitting in the Ganga River bank, waiting for Shukam Brahmarshi to speak. So after realizing the truth, what you have to realize, that then you don't require even the body. You don't want the body anymore, because only when you have the body you want all the other things, honor from others and recognition from others. It's all based on the body, isn't it? So that is why Vidura says this to Dhritarashtra. You will see this in the Bhagavatam. He says there, that Vidura says to him, that this you have to come by your own realization. Each one of us have to realize it on our own. Otherwise, you have to take it from great Mahatmas who have spoken about that. If you look into the first canto, you will see this, how it is spoken. In the first canto, you will see the chapter where Vidura is talking. I think it is in the 13th chapter. Vidura is talking. Vidura says to him, yes, Vidura, Yudhishthira says like that. Yudhishthira says here, tasyapi, no, Vidura says, if you read through that verse, you see, vidurasthad abhipretya dhritarashtram abhashada rajan nirgamyadam shikram pashyatam bhayamagadam. What happened was, Dhritarashtra was not willing to leave home. He was stuck at home. He won't leave home. Vidura goes there. He saw elder brother, isn't it? Vidura is younger brother. Goes to him and says to him, my dear elder brother, why is it like this? Big war happened, Mahabharata war. All family members, everybody has gone. All the children were killed, gone. And you are in this state and you had so much difficulty with Pandavas, with the Pandavas. And you have tried to kill them. You try to kill them. Finally, they won the war. And now you are living at their cost. They are feeding you, isn't it? So that's why he says here, aho, what he says, amazing, isn't it? You still want to live like this? Aho, mahiyasi jandor jividasha yaya bhavan. He says, look at Jandu's desire to survive in this body. Our attachment to the body, look at this, he says. And he started seeing, you see, Dhritarashtra won't listen to anybody before. You remember, before the war, Krishna came and spoke, he won't listen. We are also like that. We won't listen. We will hear everything. Like we also do the same thing nowadays also, it's like that. We will hear everything. I know everything is nice, but we will go and do what we like. So where is the person listening there? You're not listening. You are doing what you like and what you think is correct for you. But that is not listening. But here, Vidura, Dhritarashtra, what did they do? Vidura heard that Dhritarashtra has not developed any understanding of spiritual life. Absolutely nothing. Dhaumya came and spoke to him. Vedavya spoke to him. Sanal Kumara Maharshi spoke to him. Who else get higher instructions than these personalities? Sanat Kumara, the personified knowledge himself, spoke to him. Sanal Sujatiyam in the Mahabharatam is Sanal Kumara Maharshi's instructions to Dhritarashtra. Dhaumya comes and speaks. Vedavyas comes and speaks. Anyone you can imagine in the highest level of spiritual life, they have comments. And still he says, oh no, no, my children, I have to look after them. Who else will look after them? The Duryodhana is my son. And he says to him also, you can see at the end of 9th canto, he will say, what can I do? He says, whatever you are saying is all correct. And Krishna has come to do all these things. But still, he is the one who is making me to think like this. This is his answer to that. So he won't listen. Unknown. And then war has to happen. It happened. Everyone got killed. And Vidura comes back after his pilgrimage. And he comes to him. Vidurastada vipretyam dhridara ashtamabhashana. Started talking to Dhritarashtra. That is when he said to him, that pitar, brother, suhrat, putra, hataste vigadam vaya. Almaja jarayagrastha parageham upasase. He says to him, all your friends, relations, all of them, children, they are all gone. They've all gone. And you also become so old. Jarayagrastha, jara, old age has come. And you are living in somebody else's house. Is there anything more worse than that? Still, nothing is happening. So finally, he told him, he had to put it like this. Aho mahiyasi jandor. Look at a person's desire to survive, live in this world. Mahiyasi jando, jividasha, yaya bhavan, like you have got. I have never seen, even in animals you don't see this, such a desire to live. Bhimava varjidam pindam. Bhima is giving to you his pindam. He has made pindam for you. Pindam means that when he offers food to you, he is thinking that you are dead and gone, and he is offering to you in that way, like pindam is offered after the Shraddha ceremony, isn't it? Like that he is offering to you. And you are eating it, adate grihapalavat, like a dog you are sitting here and you are eating it happily. Are you not? He said, that hit him. He had to use that younger brother to sell an elder brother like this means that Vidura has made up his mind. This man is not going to go otherwise. He will remain hold on to this somehow. So therefore he had to use that powerful language. He had to say like that. Then they will, that is where it comes here. He says, and then you will see further, if you look, you'll see in the verse 25th, he says, Gatam Swarthamimam Deham. You have to become selfish, he says. You have to become selfish. Generally we say selfishness is a bad thing. No, not here. To become selfish like Parikshit is necessary. Gata Swarthamimam Deham Virakto Mukta Bandhanaha Avijnada Gadir Jahyat Savai Dhira Mudahada. Savai Dhira Mudahada. In other words, who is Dhira? He says, Yat Svabhava Paratova. Either you must listen, Deham Vira Avijnada Gadi, Avijnada Gadir Yat Svabhava Parado Deha Jada Nurveda Malmavan. In the next verse you will see that either you should have that intelligence to know this and take the right decision and to do the thing. Otherwise, if somebody else tells you, you should listen to that and do it, thinking about it, and you must develop that detachment, vairagyam, develop that renunciation and throw away everything else, and just like the snake throws its cover and moves away before death comes. You have to, before the death comes, you have to come out of it. Like the snake moves away from its body. Remember, snake, when it goes, it has got a very thin cover on it. Very big snakes, very often they will remove that cover and leave it. From there you can understand that the snake has gone through that way. So similarly, before the death comes, we have to learn that how to leave the body. How to leave the body. Able to hand over the body to death. And that is what Śrīla Brahmarṣi is saying to Parīkṣita. He says to him, after some time, Tatshaka will come. Tatshaka will come. And that Tatshaka will bite this body. And just like father's dead body, when it is put on the fire, who sets the fire? The son sets the fire. Son set fire to the father's body, and the father's body get burned. Similarly, Tatshaka will come and he will set fire to your body. And at that time, that Tatshaka and this body and none of them. What did he say? Dashandam Tatshakam Lan Lelihanam. He mentions in that verse that, if you look into that verse again, Dasandam Tatshakam Pade Lelihanam Vishanane Nadrakshasi Shariram Cha Vishwam Cha Pradhaka Alpana. Everything is that you should not see the body, Tatshaka, or the poison, or this world separate from that Alpana. Inside. Alpa has come as Tatshaka. Alpa has come as this world. Alpa has come as the poison. There is no difference at all. There is only Krishna here. There is only Alpa here. Nothing else he says here. You can think about this. Such a state, if you are able to achieve that before death comes, that is not selfishness. That is not selfishness. That is not selfishness. Instead, if you learn how to control your prana for some time, or you are able to meditate on a particular form for 5 or 10 minutes, all these things, that is not considered to be self-realization. Self-realization is this way, how Parikshita experienced from Śrīla Brahmarṣi. So we will have to stop here today. It is 6:30. We'll continue next Saturday. And all good to Srila Prabhupada.